Going on, everybody. Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. We're here tonight on a rare live Sunday edition of the Dadon Tolbert Show. Usually, as you know, on the weekends, you know, usually Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays, I take some time off and air some of the rebroadcasted shows that we've done in the past. But tonight, I wanted to come back live and talk about an issue that is really popular in today's society right now. Everyone's talking about chivalry and asking the question of, is chivalry dead? And we're going to answer that question tonight of is chivalry dead, but I also want to kind of define that term. I want to help you guys get a little bit more into the minds of men as to some of the reasons why we're not being chivalrous like we used to, or why you may not be experiencing what you would consider chivalrous behavior. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I'm going to read to you. You guys know I started the new group, Courageous Black Men of Facebook, and that group is blowing up. It's getting more popular every day. Started about not even a week ago, probably like Wednesday or Thursday last week, and it's maybe 700 men in there. And every day they're just, you know, their topics. And one of the things I'm going to be doing over the next few weeks is reading some of the answers. You know, it's all men talking about the issues that we discuss here on this show every night. A lot of the issues that you guys see me post on my Facebook page, I'll share those into the group just to give you guys give the men an opportunity to just debate. See, a lot of women don't realize this. The answers and the conversations that are had when women are present, whether that's on Facebook, whether that's in, you know, relationship forums, or wherever you guys are, those conversations, those responses from men are going to be greatly different from the answers that we give each other. And I'm seeing that. I mean, if you look at my page, you'll see men respond a certain way. And then, I mean, even me, you know what I'm saying? A lot of the things how I interact with women on some of these topics is a lot different than when I'm just talking to just men. So I'm not going to put out any names, fellas. You don't got to worry about that. But I am going to just be reading some responses because I think it's important for women to know exactly what's being said. And, and it's good. So, look forward to that in a little bit. Courtney is here. She'll be joining us momentarily. And, I'm just happy, you know. Had a really good weekend with the family. Went to church this morning, you know. Got a chance to go to the park a little bit later on in the late afternoon. Got a little Rita's Water Ice. And, we're going to have a good show tonight. And, so I look forward to it. I look forward to hearing from you guys this evening. If you want, you know, call in 646-200-0366. Hit the number 1 on your keypad. We were last live on Thursday, and everybody is still talking about Thursday's show. Thursday's show is where we did our special on teaching black men to be better fathers and husbands. And specifically, we touched on men who struggle with intimacy based on their upbringing, based on, you know, their parental background and history. A lot of men, they want love, but unfortunately, they have not been taught how to love. They haven't experienced love. They never saw love. You know, dad wasn't around, mom in and out of relationships and things like that. So, you know, they kind of just went with what they knew about. And so we did a great job of talking about that. Check out the archives at DadonTolbert.com if you missed it. And I think a lot of that plays into chivalry, exactly what we're going to be talking about tonight. I mean, you talk about chivalry. Well, chivalry is taught. You know what I'm saying? Chivalry isn't just something that you learn to do. You just do it just to do it. No, that's something that a lot of times my father taught me how to do certain things. You know, I posted online Saturday night. It got a lot of thumbs up. A lot of people, a lot of men, you know, back in the day, you know, we were we're supposed to. I got popped upside my head if I walked into a building without taking off my hat. I mean, that's just, you know, that's just something that was known. If, you know, if I was having a get-together, you know, my family would have like a, some type of get-together, like a house, you know, a party or anything like that, and a female was getting ready to leave, I already knew who, I mean, it didn't matter who it was. I'm getting up and I'm walking that woman to their car. That's just what I, you know, either me or one of my brothers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, stuff like that. That's just stuff that that has become second nature. You know, if you know, if a woman walks into the house or even into the room, you stand up until, and then you stand up until that woman has been seated. If there are no seats, then your seat now becomes her seat. That's just, you know, that's something that I've been taught and have been living since I was, you know, 5 years old. But I'm seeing out here, I'm sure you guys are seeing out here, you're saying, well, where's the chivalry? I mean, opening car doors, opening regular doors, that's just something that I've been doing all my life. You know, helping a woman with their chair, you know, as they sit down at a table. You know, these are things that were taught to be by my father, and now as an adult, I now teach, I have a godson, you know what I mean, my little nephew, you know, I teach him a lot of these things now, because he's being raised by a single mom, you know what I mean? Well, I shouldn't say that, he has a father as well, but they're not together, so, you know, that's how it goes. So, you know, I want to talk about a lot of this stuff, and we will talk about a lot of this stuff in regards to chivalry, but I think it's very important to look at the history of chivalry. You know, what does it mean to be chivalrous? See, and let me just kind of touch on this real quick. Unfortunately, a lot of people, specifically women, they mistake being respectful for being chivalrous. Now, what I just described is not chivalry. Those really aren't chivalrous acts. Those are, like I said, that's just stuff, just being a man. That's just stuff men are supposed to do. But when you talk about chivalry, that's more so reserved for the courting process. You know, a lot of women, they ask me to touch on, give some examples, because a lot of women, they've never been treated in a chivalrous manner. You know, if you look back at, you know, some of these movies and just how things were back in the day, a chivalrous act would be, if there's a, it's a rainy day and there's a puddle, you know, and the woman had on some of her best Sunday shoes, you know, white shoes or whatever it was, that man might lay down his jacket and allow that woman to step on his jacket so that she would not get her shoes or her feet dirty in the puddle. That's a chivalrous act. You understand? If it's freezing outside, or you go to a movie theater, and you know how sometimes the movie is extra cold, they got the air up high. You know, so, I mean, you know, you're cold. It's a cold movie theater. But the woman didn't bring a jacket, but you had on a blazer. You give that woman your blazer. You know what I'm saying? So now she's warm, but you're cold. You know, or you're both cold. You know what I mean? But you're more cold. That's a chivalrous act. Those are things, like opening a car door is not chivalry. That's just something that you should do. You know, a woman, you know, going to work and she has a whole bunch of hating coworkers, a lot of single bitter chicks. And so what you do is you arrange to have a dozen red roses sent to her job, and that'll just put a big smile on her face and, you know, and kind of make her coworkers be a little extra pissed off at her. That would be considered a chivalrous act. You know what I mean? Those are the things that will let you know when a man is truly feeling you. Now, the difference is, see, a lot of y'all aren't even dealing with respectful men. You're not even getting the men who open the car door or who give up their seat when a woman, you know, needs to sit down. You're just dealing with these weirdos and psychos. You definitely have never dealt with a man who would lay down his nice Gucci jacket, you know what I'm saying, his nice blazer and a puddle of mud just so you can walk over it. You see what I'm saying? That's so, and you know, the whole basis of this show, the premise of my advice, my whole practice is helping women prepare themselves to be found by that elite man. See, you got to understand, I talk a lot about elite men. If you missed the definition of what an elite man is, go back and check out the archives of my three-hour special on what an elite man is, what type of things he does, what type of things he doesn't do. You know what I'm saying? What makes him do those things? Because if and, you know, and we'll that's the whole thing. You listen to the show, you get my books, you get my CD, you set up some private counseling sessions with me. I've helped a number of women transform themselves. So now they are attracting a different type of man who will naturally be chivalrous. He'll guaranteed to be respectful, but he'll also see you in a manner that will make him want to also be chivalrous to you. All right, guys, so that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. As you can see, a lot of good stuff, man, a lot of good topics that we've been talking about. We'll be coming back live tomorrow night with Ask Thedon Advice Mondays, where we'll do nothing but answer your dating and relationship advice questions. I didn't want to wait until tomorrow to come back live. I wanted to get some of this stuff out of the way so we could go ahead and, you know, and talk about it. Like I said, Courtney will be joining us in a little bit. I wanted to... real quick, before we get into that, if you need any type of help, you know, I mentioned the counseling is first session is totally free. Call me 855-55-DADON or shoot me an email at askdadon@trctoday.com. Go to trctoday.com and check out the you know, the services if you guys need any help with that. I posted something in the on my Facebook page. I posted it in the new group. Courageous Black Men of Facebook. I posted it in the Friends of the Dadon Tolbert Show group. Add yourselves to all these groups, guys. Good content in there. I was watching a new Rick Ross video today. A lot of people talking about Rick Ross. Now, this whole Rick Ross thing is, to me, it's very comical. We talk a lot about the industry on this show. We talk a lot about the powers that be, the Illuminati, New World Order, and things like that, and how they make their presence felt in media. I don't want to get into too deep into that today, but I just in regards to that video, I just found it to be interesting, and I said it online that, you know, initially, if you guys watch the news, you keep up with current events, Rick Ross came out with this video. It's called Hold Me Back, where he's saying, these niggas can't hold me. Well, the uncut, the edited version says, these haters can't hold me back. These haters can't hold me back. But what he's really saying is, these niggas can't hold me back. These hoes can't hold me back. And BT banned that video. There was a lot of demonic imagery, satanic imagery, just niggardly type of stuff. Like, just, you know what I'm saying? And initially, BET said, you know what? This is not something that we want to be associated with, so we're going to ban the video. And it made headlines. But it was interesting because what happened with that was that, what happened? I'm looking at the, they basically said, you know what, we're not going to air this. But then Rick Ross, you guys know he has some pretty big connections. He called up his homies and said, hey, look, we're gonna do what we need to do to get this thing aired. Now, long story short, this show is, or the video is airing on BET in, you know, regular rotation. It's on MTV Jams. I think it was even a Jam of the Week. And so a lot of y'all, you know, there's power, you know, in these things. And if you really watch it, you know what to look out for, the imagery, the symbolism and things like that. It's really not a secret what's going on out here in today's society. So just want to encourage you all. I mean, even if you just watch one episode of 106 in Park, you'll see a lot of what we're talking about. I mean, literally every single video nowadays contains some form of demonic imagery. And I was actually talking about the Pepsi, you know, Pepsi, the new logo, their new logo, and not even their logo, but their new slogan. And just to kind of allow somebody asked me to touch on it. And, like I said, I don't even want to give these guys too much airtime. But if you guys notice, you know, because I mean, real quick, because a lot of y'all wonder why we even talk about this stuff. I feel like because if I don't talk about it, it's not going to get talked about. You know, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means that nobody's going to talk about it. So, and if you watch Pepsi, you know about Pepsi, you drink Pepsi. You know, their new logo, their motto, their slogan is now, it's called Live for Now. You know what I'm saying? Live for Now. That's like on all their soda cans, their billboards, commercials, and things like that. And I don't know if you guys know. I just wanted to let you know. I mean, that is the basis, because I've researched this. I mean, you guys can too. That's the basic, the basis, the foundation of Satanism. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people think, oh, you know, people are doing these, like spells, and they're witches, and, you know, vampires and stuff. That's all stuff in the movies. That's not what that's all about. You really look up what Satanism is all about. they're just about doing you, you know. Jay-Z's, you know, saying that on his T-shirt, it says, "Do it what thou wilt." Basically, just do what you want to do. Live for now. Live for today. That's the whole premise. Is like, you know what I'm saying? Because their whole thing is, it's the opposite of Christianity. Christianity says, you know what? You live with the expectation and the hope of getting to heaven. You know, and if you live in a certain way, you will get to hell. So, but basically, you're not living for now if you follow Christianity. You're living for one of two things. You're living to either get to heaven or you're living to not to go to hell. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? You're living for the future one way or the other, either heaven or hell. And so Satanists, they believe, look, live for now. Live for today. Do what thou wilt. Google Jay-Z demonic T-shirt. You'll see him wearing a shirt that says, do what thou wilt. Do what you want to do. Live for now. You know, that was a famous quote from Aleister Crowley, who's basically one of the very influential founders of this whole Satanist movement in modern-day history. So, and like I said, that's all I really wanted to say about it. You know, I just want y'all, I mean, you know, it's not really anything we can do about it, but it's good to have that knowledge. Just so, I'm not saying go boycott Pepsi products. No, you know, it is what it is. Real quick, I looked at, if you look at their new spokesperson, Kanye West was their old spokesperson. He used to, you know, they paid him something like $50 million just to be their spokesperson. Nicki Minaj is their new spokesperson. I mean, you just look at their track records. Look at what they represent as people, as artists. You know, it's just images that they put out. I mean, Nicki Minaj is a lesbian. You know, she has sex with men and women, bisexual. You know, I mean, I think that's pretty well documented. And so this is the person that Pepsi has tapped to represent them as a brand, as a company. So, you know, like I said, that's pretty much it. You guys have questions about that and want to talk about it, you know, hit me up. That's cool. But if not, you know, just wanted to kind of touch on it so you guys can know what's going on out here around you. Also, what I wanted to get into, we talked last week on Thursday's show, and a lot of people have been hitting me up between Thursday and now saying that they got a chance to watch the movie Courageous. And shout out to everybody who got a chance to watch that, you know, classic movie, guys. It's the foundation of the whole premise of me starting the new group, Courageous Black Men of Facebook. If that's you, shout out to all the men in there. If you're not in there, fellas, add yourselves. It's just a lot of positive conversations going on there. Speaking of the group, this is what I wanted to do. I'm in the group now, right? I want to read you guys some of the questions, or excuse me, some of the I posted a question in the group of what are some of the most important things that black men look for in a wife? Okay, I mean there are a lot. Let me just real quick. I'm looking at how do you feel about dating women who wear weaves? These are just some of the topics in the group. I'm scrolling down real quick. Somebody asked, fellas, can you see a long-term relationship with a female who has kids by multiple men? Somebody's talking about weight issues. How do you feel about that? I posed a question about clubs, strippers, dating them. How do men feel about them? What else we got in here? Somebody said, what are some qualifications to be an elite man? How do you feel about loud, ghetto, damaged, emotionally damaged females? You know, man, like I said online earlier, ladies, if you could be a fly on the wall, you would really do well to hear and see some of these responses given. Another one that I asked, and this one has about, you know, there's a lot of comments on it. It says, fellas, how do you feel when a woman gives it up on the first night? Would you still consider wifing her, or is it a wrap? I have a feeling. So, I think y'all want me to read a couple of these answers from that one. Am I right? I know Courtney does when she gets here. She'll want me to. I have a feeling you guys want to hear some of these responses. I'll read a couple. Now, and this is deep because think about it. Think about it, guys. A lot of you, let's be real, a lot of y'all do that, okay? You know, we're all grown. A lot of times in today's society, sex goes down relatively quickly. So I think it's important to know how, I think it's like 700 men in here, and a lot of these men have been commenting on how we view women who do that. And it's not about being judgmental. It's just, this is all, it's nobody to front for. This is just men talking amongst men, right? And it is what it is. Now, this is the first, I'm just going to go down the line. I'm not going to skip around. I'm just going to read you the top, I'll do the top five or the first five answers on this thread. Again, the question is, how do you feel, fellas, when a woman gives it up on the first night? Would you consider wifing her, or is it a wrap? The first response is this, and again, all the fellas will remain anonymous because I like to respect people's privacy, but one guy says, it's a wrap for me. I had some conversation with coworkers and discovered that most of them who were married had slept with their spouses on the first night. This guy is saying it's absolutely a wrap for him. The second response is, every woman's aura is different, so you can most times tell what your next move can and should be by paying attention to that. Another guy says, depends on the circumstances, to be honest. Another guy says, it's a wrap because if she did it for you, then who else has she done it for? Another guy says, negative. If she can give it up that easily to you, then you can assume that she's given it up that easily to multiple dudes before you. Another guy, not likely to wife her at all, but it would depend on how long we talked and how long we talked and knew each other before the date. Usually it's not that long, so she would be out. Someone else says, this is a guy, he says, it depends. I do not hold this against women. To me, it just means that she knows what she wants. However, I do respect a woman more when she makes me work for it. And this is what I said. I keep it real. You know what I mean? I said, and I responded to this guy. I said, I don't respect women who make men, quote unquote, work for it. I respect women who keep their legs closed. He says, explain, good brother, because you don't eventually want her to open them. I didn't mean make me work for it like that's all I'm after. I meant as in if she wants me to get to know her and not her snatch, as he calls it. I said, this is, and I'll read exactly what I said because I think it's important for you guys to know this. I said, this is my perspective. Usually we as men put women into one of two categories from the door, wife or freak. If I've already labeled this chick a freak, then she already is getting no respect. So her trying to make me work for something is a complete waste of time. Now, if I've identified this woman as someone special who I might wife up, then it's going to be all about monitoring her behaviors. If those panties drop after the first date, I probably won't view her as being special anymore. The best women to me are the ones who are celibate and remain that way. Now, down the line, if we slip up, but it's clear that she truly desires to want to wait to have sex, then that's a different story. And let me just kind of preface that a little bit. I think a lot of women, they don't get that. A lot of women say, well, you know, they're not in today's society. It's somewhat unrealistic to think that someone will wait until marriage. Well, one, that's not true. You know, one, that's definitely not true. It's not unrealistic at all. But two, I mean, it does happen. It's rare, but it's not unrealistic. Being rare and unrealistic are two very different things. But two, and this is where it gets real, we as men are able to, and this really is all tied into chivalry, because, if we have labeled you as a freak or someone we're just going to have fun with or a good time with, well, then, you know, it's not really going to go anywhere. But so what I'm saying to y'all is, if we're chilling and, you know, you're sending me the naked pictures, you know, a lot of our conversations are revolve around sex, you know, you're putting out that sexual vibe, you know, we're having sex, then a lot of people, you know, ladies, you have to understand that is not going to be one that I'm going to say is special. That's not going to be someone who I'm going to want to invest time into, invest money into, invest anything into, for that matter. Because, again, when you marry someone, you want to marry the best. You want to marry someone who's special, someone who's different from any other woman that you've dated. Most women give it up in less than 2 weeks. That's what any man will tell you. That's been the majority of their sexual experiences, most men will tell you that they've all happened in sooner than less than 2 weeks. You know, obviously there will be women outside of that, but again, if we're talking about statistically, I'm talking about at least 90% of men's sexual experiences in today's society happen on the first date. You know, I won't say 90, I'd say about well over 50% happen within the first 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Excuse me. Well over 50% happen on the first night. You know what I'm saying? Now, I can almost guarantee you it's closer to 90% that's happened within the first 2 weeks. So I guess what the whole point of this, guys, is you want to be special. You never want to get to a place where a man is looking at you the way he's viewed hundreds of other women that he's dealt with. Okay? And this is actually a post that I read. So that was, I just want to kind of give you guys a glimpse into the courageous black men of Facebook group. And ladies, you know, when I post stuff on Facebook telling you guys about some of these conversations, and even now, please don't, and like I'm looking at it right now, like at least just since I've been talking the last 5 minutes, three females have sent friends requests. Ladies, don't do that. It's not for you. You're not going to sneak in there and just kind of sit back and watch what goes. No, it's for men. Now, I'll tell you certain things, but this is a forum for men, so there's no need to send friends requests. I posted online last night, and this is one of the major things that I attribute a lot of sex, a lot of failed relationships, a lot of the lack of respectability that exists out here. I attribute it to this. I said that women growing up without fathers to tell them that they're beautiful, as well as being special, that's one of the main reasons why we see so many women seeking attention from men by showing off their breasts or their booties. Okay? I said, ladies, doing these things will not get you any attention, but it will get you sex, definitely, followed by pregnancy a lot of times, and ultimately a deadbeat dad. Don't do it to yourselves. Just respect yourselves, and men will respect you. You're never going to find a man who's going to respect you when it's clear that you don't respect yourself. That's something that you guys need to understand. And you know, as we get into and transition into chivalry, chivalry is not one of those things that you just get to get it. It's something that we have to want a future with you. You understand what I'm saying to you, ladies? Like, you can't go out on a date with somebody, be acting all sexual, show up with these revealing outfits on, he takes you out, spends like 50, 60 bucks on you. Y'all go back to the crib and have sex, and now you're wondering why he doesn't want to go ahead and do that all over again the next weekend. Like, for what? He already had sex with you. There's no point in spending more money. Like, why spend money? Like, you've already taken yourself out of the wifey category, so now you're just going to be placed into the sex category. So why invest money in someone where you know the only thing you want from them is sex? I mean, if we're going to pay for the sex, well, then in that case, we might as well just, go pay for sex, like strippers or prostitutes. I mean, that's just not, doesn't make sense. It's not logical. Now, chivalry comes into play when we actually, for whatever reason, look at you in a way that makes us say, wow, yo, that's somebody special. That's my future wife right there. Let me do what I got to do to wife her up. So, yeah, then when we're trying to impress you, when we want to spend money on you, we want to spend time with you, we want to show you off to our friends, to our family, well, then, yeah, that's when you get the chivalrous treatment. But please understand, ladies, chivalry is something that's earned. You know what I'm saying? Don't let the fact that your father wasn't there to tell you how pretty you were. Don't let the fact that you grew up feeling neglected or wanting a father to just pick you up and hold you. Don't let those things cause you to seek that attention from men. That's where we get the dyeing of the hair, the tattoos, you know, the revealing of the breasts. All of those things, 90% of the time, are tied into growing up without a father. You typically don't see women who grew up with a loving father, a loving mother, and a loving household going out and doing those things. You know, excessive tattoos, colorful with weaves, hairs, you know, breast out. Those are things when you're looking for something. You're looking for something that you didn't get when you were growing up. You know, my wife is a good example of that. You know, father, mom, married her whole life, you know, loving household. She has no tattoos, you know, doesn't feel the need to go out looking for attention. And there are a lot of women like that out here. And so my advice to you guys is to just be that woman. You understand what I'm saying? Now let's talk about what, because again, we're talking about chivalry tonight. Is chivalry dead in 2012? Now, one of the things we're going to do is, I'm going to go back to the group, the Courageous Black Men of Facebook group, and I'm going to read some of the top, I'm going to do exactly what I did with the other one. I'm going to read some of the top qualities that we as men look for in a wife. Understand? Now, see, a lot of you guys are just used to, you know, like I said, my perspective, you know, some of the regulars who call in back in the day, a lot of the Barbershop Talk Tuesdays crew. Well, now you're hearing a lot of, you know, now we have this group, you know, and I want to make this group grow. I mean, over the next several months and next couple of years, I mean, this group is just going to grow. It's going to have black men from all over the world, thousands and thousands of men. I only created it this week. And it's already 700 men, so I'm trying to have this thing be like, you know, 10,000 strong of just opinions and discussions that we have as men. I tell you guys all the time, I mean, y'all are looking at Steve Harvey like he's the end-all and be-all. It's like, oh, my God, he said it, so this must be how men think. You guys know that the vast majority of men think Steve Harvey's a clown, right? I just want y'all to know that. I mean, y'all realize that, right? Like, that's what men are saying. You know what I mean? Like, nobody, no man respects Steve Harvey. He's known, it's publicly known that he is a sellout. He has sold black men out to make a dollar off of black women. Like, that's not just Dayton Tolbert talking. You know what I'm saying? That's just commonly known everywhere you go. In fact, I don't think I've ever met a man who respects Steve Harvey. You understand? And that's one of the reasons why I created a group of men. Because I don't want men talking about me the way men talk about Steve Harvey. Women love Steve Harvey. You feel what I'm saying? But men look at Steve Harvey as a joke. Courtney has joined us. Courtney, what's going on with you? What are your thoughts about chivalry this evening?
I am so excited to talk about it because chivalry is just one of those topics that people are just have been misinformed about, or they just, you know, or they just don't have, you know, the knowledge about what true chivalry is. And, you know, I was one of those people. You know, I thought chivalry was just opening the door for me. You know, the little things. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's chivalrous. You know, but it's so much more than that. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good to have you here. I mean, chivalry is like you said, it's so, so much more than that. You know, like she said, you know, look, opening a door, you know, holding a chair. These are things that people's mothers should have taught them to do. I tell you guys all the time, look at these men walking around with blazers on. You can tell they didn't grow up with a father, and definitely didn't grow up with a good father. Because unfortunately, you see a lot of these men walk. They button both buttons. Like if a suit jacket has two buttons, you're supposed to leave the bottom button undone. That's just something that men do. Men are supposed to wear their watches on their left hand. You don't wear your watch on your right hand. Fellas, I'm just telling y'all that. That's just commonly known. And I'm just saying, I'm not saying that, you know, if you do, you do, but that's not the right way of doing things. You know what I'm saying? And usually you can tell when these men did not have fathers to show them how to tie a tie, how to button a suit jacket, how to, you know, be chivalrous to a woman. A lot of times they didn't have a father to even show them how to be street smart. That's why a lot of these men aren't street smart. That's why they're carrying guns, just shooting. They say one thing, you look in the wrong way, they're shooting because they don't know how to walk away from a situation. They weren't taught how to, you know, how to be men. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, I'm going to be a man because I got a gun. You know what I'm saying? That's not being a man. That's just having a gun. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, let's read some of these things. Again, I'm going to do the top, I'm going to probably do the first five answers. I don't screen these. I'm not trying to front. This is what they say. This is the first five answers. What qualities, what are some of the top qualities you look for in a wife? Now, again, as I'm reading these, consider that this is what determines whether or not you're going to be treated chivalrously. You understand? Like, if you don't have these qualities, like, for example, this one guy I'm about to read, if you don't have these qualities that he's saying, well, then why on earth would he treat you in a chivalrous manner if he knows you're not going to be his wife? If he knows you're not going to be his wife, well, then what are you going to be? If anything, you'll be like just his little play toy, a little sex toy, a little jump off, a little freak. You know, Usher has a song. It says, here, won't you be my little freak? He didn't say, come on, will you be my wife? Let's get married like Jagged Edge was talking about. Nah, he said, yo, won't be my little freak, be my little freak. Courtney, what you know about that song? You ever been in somebody's little freak?
Yeah, I've been someone's little freak. But I thought I was wifey, though.
Man, that's crazy. You're short, too. I'm messing with you.
What does that have to do with it?
No, you're his little freak.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Literally.
Come on, Courtney. Got to get you on with the program.
Okay, look, I know.
Let's do this. Let me read the top five. The top five the top qualities that we as men look for in a wife. The first one is a commitment to family and to developing herself for the future. She has to be behind me as I'm behind her. She has to be able to offer something towards the relationship, and she must love the Lord. Those are the top qualities that he looks for in a wife. Now, this is somebody who you don't hear from on a regular basis on this show or on my Facebook page. I'm not going to give you his name, but this is not someone who is a regular participator in my forums. Now, this is me. Now, you tell me if what he said sounds anything like what I'm saying, right? And you guys know this by heart, but I said a great personality, a high level of respectability, and 100% emotional availability. A woman having baggage from a past relationship is totally unacceptable. So that's me. Now, the next guy says she has to be feminine. She has to be humble, gentle, kind, loving, and everything that God created women to be. I can't stand a loud, obnoxious, emasculated females that have been conditioned by the media. You guys see, these are the top three. That's me, one guy, and then another guy. And then somebody else, that same guy just who I just read, he said and added, and she has to be emotionally available. Now, again, fellas, you know, if you're in the group, you know I'm just reading these right down the line. You guys can see it. The ladies can't see it, but trust me, this is exactly, and these are educated men. These are successful men. These are married men. These aren't the psychos, the weirdos, Courtney, what do you think about these, just what we've heard so far?
It's amazing how similar the answers are. You know, they're worded differently, but it's basically saying the same thing. One thing that stood out to me was, well, everything really, but specifically about women being feminine. And you would think that would just come with the territory, right? Like, you're a woman, you're supposed to be feminine. But a lot of women aren't, and that just made me think of women like Mimi. You know, it's lots of Mimis around that don't know how to be feminine. That's something that should come natural to us women. But unfortunately, a lot of us, you know, because we've had our guard up for so long because of being hurt for, you know, so many years by different men, we turn into men, or we attempt to turn into a man, you know, just as a defense mechanism. And it's just amazing how he was able to say that, which coincides with what you were talking about, you know, respectability, you know, carrying yourself in that manner as a virtuous woman. So I thought it was amazing how, you know, how the two paralleled.
Yeah, absolutely, Courtney. I mean, these answers are all going to be somewhat similar because, like I told you guys, the things that I say come from men anyway. This was just God putting a little light switch on in my head saying, duh, why, you already talk to men on a daily basis. That you know, and I know, and the men know, the things you tell these women every single day come straight from the mouths of men. So why not just create a forum specifically for men to be able to dialogue about this stuff? So that's all I did. So it's no, I mean, it's not, I'm not surprised. You shouldn't, you guys at home shouldn't be surprised at these answers. There are no debates. On my pages and my groups, I've had in the past 300 comment debates, arguments. I've had to delete people. People want to attack me. They want to inbox my wife because they don't like what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying? We've touched on just about, in the last week, just in this group, we touched on so many topics. You guys know there hasn't been one argument. There hasn't, I mean, there haven't really been any disagreements for the most part. You know what I'm saying? I mean, for real, you guys know. And fellas, call in. If I'm lying, call in right now and call me on it. You guys know I'm not lying. You know what I'm saying? So now here's a couple more. Another guy says, first and foremost, she has to be a Christian. Okay? Somebody else says, God-fearing, pretty teeth and pretty feet and pretty hands. Okay? Obviously, she says, another guy says, obviously female, heterosexual, and saved. Humble, easy to reason with, a sense of humor, common sense, a spirit of long-suffering, quiet, gentle. He capitalized quiet. Everything else is in regular letters. He capitalized quiet and gentle spirit and just an overall down-to-earthness. He says, I like the simple things. Yes, extravagant things are always good and excitement is great, but overall simpleness wins every day in my book. Now, with that said, I'm a man, so the problem is finding that in a presentable package, whereas she's not trying to be a quote-unquote dime or simply 180 degrees in the opposite direction of my type. Wow, man, he said a lot there. Now, this is my homie. My homie, he doesn't care. It's my homie, Oshel. You know what I mean? One of my best buddies from back in the day, and even into this day, he says, and he's a married guy, he says, having the spirit of God. See, this is, and this is, let me just touch on this. I know my man Osh doesn't mind if I use him as an example. This is Pastor Osho right here. You know what I mean? Shout out to him if he's tuned in. But he says, having the spirit of God. See, a lot of women say, oh, no. I love God. No, it's not about what you love. It's do you have the spirit of God in you? And me and Osh, we talk about this stuff. You understand? Do you have the spirit of God? Or do you have a lustful spirit? Or do you have a sexual spirit? Do you have a sexual vibe? You know what I'm saying? Or do you have a depressed spirit? Do you have a lot of emotional baggage? Is that your spirit? You understand that? You see the difference with that, Courtney? A lot of women love God, but they don't have the spirit of God in them.
Exactly. I know exactly what he meant. And it's just crazy how we just think that our belief in God is good enough. You know, we think that, okay, we believe that, you know, Jesus died on the cross, you know, for our sins. So that's enough to make us, you know, a godly woman. And that belief alone is going to make us stand out. But if you believe that, cool, I mean, that's great, that's what you should believe, but if you believe that and you're still out there having sex and you're getting drunk every night and sleeping with multiple men, then what's the point if you're not even living by those principles and values?
Right. Now, again, keep in mind, you want love, but do you have a spirit of God? You want chivalry, but look how you're acting. Now, if I can, real quick, if I can go back for a second, the dude previously to my homie, he says quiet was such a major thing for him. He said he capitalized, she has to be quiet. Now, look, now this is on everything. I just opened up, I'm in front of my laptop right now, okay? I'm going to tell you what God just did. I just opened up my laptop, and I opened up a new browser, and I logged in because I wanted to go back and find this. Because my homie Tim in the Friends of the Dayton Tolbert Show group. If you guys are in there, you saw what he posted earlier this afternoon. And I'm just going to read this. This is in 1 Timothy 2:12. And my browser opened, I'm telling y'all, like literally just to this, it just opens this. I didn't have to scroll for it. I didn't have to look for it. It just popped right up in front of my screen. It says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. And that's in 1 Timothy 2:12. Courtney, what do you think about that verse? I just found that to be interesting. The dude just said that's one of the major qualities he looks for, and that's actually biblical, that women are supposed to be quiet in situations like that. What do you think about that, Courtney?
I think that's amazing. I think, you know, that God wanted every woman to hear that because, and it just shows that, you know, even God sees it's a problem, that we, a lot of us don't know how to be submissive. A lot of us don't know how just to be quiet. And it's a real issue. And it's no coincidence that you happen to just see that and it would just pop up to that verse. It's very real, and it's an issue that many women need to just work on and just self-reflect, because not all of us are nice, not all of us are humble and meek. You know, a lot of us, many of us have really bad attitudes and are just unsupportive.
Right, right. And again, we're talking about chivalry tonight. You're not going to get a man to view you in that manner, you know, as, you know, in a chivalrous way, if you are not bringing those, any of these things to the table. Another guy says she must be submitted to God, a selfless woman, a woman who can be my best friend, emotionally stable. I say emotionally available. This guy says emotionally stable. This is someone who I've never talked to in my life. Somebody added him to the group, but he's saying the same exact thing. You know what I mean? Submitted to God, a selfless woman, a woman who can be my best friend, emotionally stable, loyal, a woman with character, and she can cook. He says, laugh out loud, I love the food. Hey, I feel you. That's icing on the cake. You see how he just put that last, because that's cookie. It's funny. I've read at least 5 or 6 of these, right? And nobody has said anything about sex. Nobody said anything about cooking. Nobody has said anything about having a sexy, curvaceous body, you know, a fat ass. You know what I mean? None of that. And these, if you ask women, nobody has said anything about a degree or about money or about being independent. Y'all know that, right? No, not one man in this whole freaking thread of black men from around the whole country has said any of the major things that most single, successful black women think that we look for in men. Not one. I'll read one more. This is the last one. I'll read because I want to move on, but because there are a whole bunch of these. Another guy says, emotionally available, a high level of respectability, a great nurturer, understanding, open-minded, a great communicator, loyalty, confident, in shape, and God-fearing. You see where I'm going with this? See, it's funny, because a lot of women think they lose the, okay, I'm going to just be in shape. I'm going to be healthy so I can be a great mother and live a long, healthy life with my family. You're thinking that you know, that's what's important. You know, having a big butt and some nice breasts is not the same as being in shape. You could have a big butt, a big, you know, big breast, but be sit, most of the time just sitting on a big gut. That's not sexy. Y'all know that, right? Like, I'm no disrespect. I'm just telling y'all. Y'all know that. And I'm just a man with the you know, the balls big enough to say it, because a lot of these men won't tell y'all this. But the only time, and I'm not saying you can't be a good person, don't get me wrong, you can be a good person if you're overweight, but you still need to be in shape. You still need to work on your health. You always need to be actively trying to be healthy. I don't care how big you are. You always need to do that. You know what I'm saying? Men, women, just we as people, especially in the black community, need to be healthy. Usually, if you're big, you're overweight, you're not healthy. Understand that? So it's nothing, you know, you're not healthy if you're fat. I mean, here, Courtney, is that, I mean, how do you feel about this? Is that okay for you? A lot of women, they take offense. They say, well, I'm big and beautiful. No, you need to be healthy. That if you're big, that's like overweight. When you're overweight, that brings about things like diabetes and cancer and, you know, heart issues and respiratory issues. So there's nothing sexy about being big. There's nothing sexy about being overweight. Men, women, just we all need to be in shape. And people are afraid of just catering to people's feelings. But people are dying out here. Nobody wants to say, yo, you don't need to be big. It's unhealthy to be big. You know? I mean, I'm just saying, Courtney, am I wrong for that?
No, you are right. Like, I agree with everything you said. And it's funny you mentioned all of the diseases that it could lead to, because that's the route I was going to go. And I agree. You know, people think it's sexy or... you know, to be big, or it's okay for them just to have a little, you know, big gut. It's sexy, you know. I'm just big bone. Like, no, you know, that leads to sicknesses, and a lot of the stuff that we, you know, experience, or a lot of the diseases that are prevalent, it really comes back on us, because a lot of them, the diseases out there, you know, we are the ones that have to suffer from those. Like, we are the ones that are, you know, the victims, you know, of those, you know, types of diseases that can ultimately kill us. And, you know, you think it's cute now, but, you know, and you think that's going to attract a man. But if you can't even stay alive to be there for your husband and your kids, then, you know, what's the point? Like, you need to really get rid of that mentality. And I'll just say this, my last point. A lot of it is just laziness. It's a defense mechanism saying, oh, well, you know, I'm just thick, or, you know, I'm big, but I'm sexy. No, you know that it's a problem, but you're too lazy to do what you have to do, so you're using that as an excuse. Stop it. Just stop doing it.
Right. And let me just say something. I want to tell, and I could just leave it alone and move on and be politically correct, but I believe that, and this has been talked about in the group, of black men, and again, it's just common knowledge amongst men, but a lot of women, they don't seem to get this little point. Hear this. Breasts do nothing for you when the rest of you is not in shape. You know that. I mean, I'm talking about, like, a lot of women, they'll wear their cleavage out, an excessive amount of cleavage, knowing darn well they have a huge stomach. Now, I'm not saying you can't be a nice person and be an attractive person, but the fact that you are trying to compensate for your weight by exposing your breast, that is not sexy. Breasts are only sexy, you know what I'm saying, when the rest of the body is in shape. You can't be out of shape and expect to be able to show, you know, wear some tights that'll make your butt look big and expect men to be like, damn, you know, she's sexy. No, that's not sexy. All men feel that way. Most men won't tell you that, though. A lot of women, they need to hear that, though. So what am I saying? Can you still be big and, you know, be attractive, be sexy? Yes. But don't use your breast to do that. You understand that? You know, you can be classy and be big. You know, if your clothes fit on you, then that's attractive. A man will take a nice, pretty face over, a pair of breasts sitting on a big gut any day. Nobody wants that. So let me just, you know, keep it moving on that note. You know, don't get me started on that. A lot of women, they don't want to hear that type of advice. But it's needed. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you guys rather know it and hear it than to not hear it and just have men think it? You know? Wouldn't you rather, you know, me say that? And at least now you have the information. You're not walking around. It's like walking around with a kick me sign on your back. You know, it's a little embarrassing. Somebody says, hey, you know what? You know you have a kick me sign on your back, right? And they're like, what? Oh, snap. I've been walking around with this sign on my back this whole time. But at least somebody told you, so you don't continue walking around with it on your back. You know, people kicking you in your butt all day. So let's keep it moving, though. Again, we're talking about chivalry today. Phone lines are open all night, 646-200-0366. Hit the number 1 on your keypad. Some people have been saying, I don't know what's going on. A lot of times this Blog Talk Radio Network, they have some technical difficulties, so don't blame me. I don't know what's going on. But look, just FYI, I don't know what's going on. If we're live, we're cool. But sometimes when I do the rebroadcasted episodes, some issues occur. If in those instances, just, you know, FYI, take some time and just say, hey, you know what? And you have a desire to listen to a show, just go into the archives and pick a show. You know what I'm saying? And don't go turn on Love and Hip Hop or some crap, but still listen. You know what I mean? They're all shows archived. Go on iTunes, just listen real quick if for whatever reason you can't log on. This is what I want to talk about. Somebody asked a question in the group. I think this was in the Friends of the Dayton Tolbert Show group. You know, and I think maybe even said something about it and it started a whole debate. I said, actually, this is what happened. I said, ladies, you know when you date multiple men, like none of them take you seriously. I said, you know that, right? Like a lot of women, they don't get that. You know, and let me just kind of unwrap that a little bit. Ladies, okay, a lot of you guys, this is what you're doing. Because, again, this ties right into chivalry. You're not going to be treated chivalrously by any of these men if you're dating multiple men. I remember a few years ago, Essence Magazine came out with an article encouraging women to date multiple men. Steve Harvey advises women to exercise their options. This is absolutely horrible advice. Most of these advice guys advise women, hey, you're not married, you don't got a ring on your finger. Hey, go out there and date. That's the stupidest thing you could possibly do. That is the epitome of emotional unavailability. If you were dating, check this out. You're dating me on Thursday night. You're telling me, I'm feeling you. We're trying to go out. We're getting to know each other. You say, well, I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket because who knows what Dayton is thinking. So I met this other guy a couple weeks ago. He asked to take me out. So I'm going to go out with Dayton on Thursday night. I'm going to go out to lunch with so-and-so on Saturday night. And then you know what? I'm going to go ahead and have a little bit of extra fun after church. This dude wants me to go with him to this his church function with him. So I'm going to go there with him on Sunday afternoon. So now you have three different dates with three different men. You know what I'm saying? So now, see, a lot of women, they say, well, okay, Dayton, what's wrong with that? Okay, I mean, I'm not in a relationship with any of them. I'm not committed to any of them. What's the big deal? Well, let me tell you what the big deal with that is. Because it's not just dating. Because at that point, and I had to go through this with one of the women I was counseling last week. I had to kind of walk her through it. Because, yeah, you went out with me on Thursday, but you went out with somebody else on Saturday and then somebody else on Sunday. So now on Tuesday, you know, we're talking. We're having a conversation. I'm like, oh, hey, how was your weekend? You know what I'm saying? I hadn't spoken to her since Thursday. Obviously, she was a little busy. How was your weekend? What'd you get into? I'm just making conversation. Oh, no, it was cool. You know, I just chilled. Oh, you just chilled? You didn't do nothing Saturday night? Nah, I mean, and then you're getting a little uncomfortable because now you're faced with a split-second decision. Do I tell the truth? Because I still like Dayton. Do I tell him that I actually went out on a date with somebody, or do I not want to mess things up, or do I not even want to take the chance at messing things up, so I lie? And in that split second, most women will lie. Oh, no, I just chilled. You know what? I was tired, you know. I mean, I was thinking about you from our date from Thursday night. So I just sat up there and was watching TV. Like, oh, really? Oh, yeah, you should have. How come you didn't call me? You should have hit me up. Oh, no, you know you were out with your girlfriend, so I didn't want to call you. Oh, that's why? Oh, okay. Meanwhile, she's trying to cover her tracks, knowing darn well she was out Saturday night. And now a lot of women say, well, you know, Dayton, well, you probably wouldn't know that she what she really did, so she didn't really get caught. And that's where the problems start. Because men like myself have an uncanny ability to spot BS. You will never get away with that, ladies. I promise you. We always know. There's always something that tells us that we're not stupid. And so right at that moment, I'm not going to cuss her out. I'm not going to flip out. But that just tells me, like, all right, I know what it's hitting for. I know that you're dating and entertaining other dudes. So that's cool. If anything, I might just, if this depending on what part of, you know, what stage I was in my life, I'd probably be like, all right, so look, what you doing this weekend? You want to come over, maybe watch a movie? So instead of now going out like we did on Thursday night, now it's, why don't you come over to the crib? And we all know what happens when she comes over to the crib. Courtney, how about that cycle?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes, and it's crazy because I don't know, like, I think I said this before, like, we as women, we think that we're getting over on you. Guys, like, you all don't know any better, and we could just lie. And the thing about it is I just think all men, period, can spot BS. But I think elite men have that extra leg up on the whole situation because they have that discernment. So it's like you really can't get over on an elite man at all. And it's actually sad with for the women because they have no idea why they got put into the jump-off category. It's like their intentions were good, but it's like they're so afraid of getting hurt that they didn't want to put all their eggs into one basket. But they may have genuinely liked you, but now they are put in a position and been put into a category as a jump-off indefinitely, and they don't even know how that translated to that. It's just sad.
And they don't even... Right, they you're right. They don't know how it you know got to that point, but they don't. And a lot of times they don't even know that they're at that point.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? They don't. They still think that it's the same way it was on Thursday, because on Thursday, I was the perfect gentleman. On Thursday, I was doing a lot of things. I spent a couple dollars. You know, we were talking about some things with the future. But now after her lie on Saturday, or really not even on Saturday, on Tuesday, about what she did on Saturday. You know, and let's not even forget Sunday. So, oh, yeah, so how was church on Sunday? Oh, yeah, no, it was cool. Oh, yeah, she's like, nah, after that, I just came home, chilled. I took a nap. I'm like, you took a nap? Knowing darn well this chick is lying about a church event. And, again, if you guys didn't realize, you know these are real stories, right? You know what I mean? Like, this isn't just like one of my hypotheticals. This has happened before, and it happens every day. And so understand, one, you guys, you don't want to make yourself a liar, because again, if you're trying to build something, you're praying, you know, this whole relationship, you need God's help to find a husband, or to be found by a husband, I should say. It doesn't just happen. So if you're doing things that really go against God's will, you know, just in general, lying, you know, manipulating, you know, doing things. I mean, God's not going to bless that. You know, you told me you chilled when you were out on a date with another dude. So, I mean, you know, that's no man's, the desire of no man's heart is a liar. You know, someone who is trying to be a player. So I'm just saying, it's all I'm saying, ladies, don't do it to yourselves. You know, really just respect yourselves and say, and be patient. Trust God, because really, let's be honest. The reason why you're dating multiple men in a short span of time is because you want to maximize your opportunity to find Mr. Right. You want to find a husband, but that's not biblical. Women don't find husbands. You position yourselves to be great women, and then that man will find you. God will bless you with that man. You're doing it backwards because you're lacking faith in God. So if you're lacking faith in God, Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know what I'm saying? So he's pissed off at you now. So if God is pissed off at you, what are the chances that he's going to bless you with that elite man? Pretty much slim to none. So don't date multiple men. I don't care what Steve Harvey wants you to believe, what Dr. Phil tries to tell you, what these Essence magazine weirdos want you to believe. You know, all of these publications, all of these radio executive. I'm talking about not Steve Harvey, but the people above Steve Harvey, the people who run Essence magazine, the people who sign the checks for Dr. Phil. They are all the heads of these huge billion-dollar corporations who are furthering an agenda specifically designed to keep black women single. You know what I'm saying? It's on a large scale. It's to keep everyone separate, because that's the devil's agenda. It's to keep, you know, without God is love, so he wants everyone to be without love. That's on a large scale. He wants everyone to be separate, without love and miserable. That's the devil's plan for everyone. However, on a more worldly level, when you incorporate those same people who are responsible for furthering the devil's plan, those people also are living with a mindset of racism. You know what I'm saying? And discrimination. So not only do they want everyone to be single, you know, by spreading that message, but they specifically want to keep black women single and keep black men, you know, out of the homes, in jail, on drugs, dead, or, you know, and, you know, things like that. And so that's why the only people who are selling, you know, on a large scale, achieving commercial success, are people who are selling a message that will lead to black women being single. You guys ever notice that? I mean, how do you make millions off of telling black women to only wait 90 days for sex? That's ludicrous. I mean, you do that, you might, you know, you'll be single. Courtney, any thoughts on that?
I mean, you're right. And unfortunately, you know, the message is actually getting through to people. People are actually believing in it, and it's working. You know, for every book that's sold, you know, you'll have every, you know, abortion or deadbeat dad. And that's just, or, you know, every single, just a woman just being single for the rest of her life. And it's really sad. And it just, that's why you really have to not look to the media and things like that to, you know, for anything, really. You should look to God for everything. You know, people make that mistake of looking into their favorite entertainers to show them how to dress. And, you know, they'll look to people, to Steve Harvey, for dating advice because they've just given up. They haven't had luck on anything. And so instead of going to God, they're going to Steve Harvey, you know, which is really the devil. So it's sad.
I actually find it funny, if you can believe it. I find some humor in it because, you know, it's, you look at people like when Monique had her show. If you guys remember, I predicted when me and Gerald were on, I know Gerald remembers this, we talked, we were like, yeah, when Monique's show just got on air, she was spreading, I mean, for a number of reasons, we both said her show will be on maybe one season, two seasons tops. You look at when Monique's show got canceled, it fell right along the lines with when we predicted that it would be. And we predicted that when it first came on the air. But we can get into why that happened on a whole nother. At her show, she had an Ask Monique segment. Why are you taking advice from Monique? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's ludicrous. You're taking advice from a comedian, Steve Harvey, and another comedian, Monique. That's, I mean, that's not smart. Then you got Ask Wendy. You're taking relationship advice from basically a drag queen. You know what I'm saying? Somebody who is just, has a, I mean, nobody in their right mind would marry her. You know, I don't know who she's married to, but he, like I said, nobody in their right mind would marry her. And it is what it is. So you really want to start taking advice from people who genuinely have nothing to lose and have your best interest at heart. Now, I said online on Saturday night, I give a lot of advice during the on weekends because the weekends is the time when things happen, like usually. You know, people are going on dates, people are getting jumped off, smashed out, backs blown out, you know, strung along. They're stalking, they're popping up at cribs, they're having the drama, they're finding out that men are cheating. I mean, it's a lot of things that happen. I get a lot of my clients, actually. I do a lot of counseling. A lot of my clients, believe it or not, I get them on, like, you know, Saturday nights, late Saturday nights, Sundays. I get a lot of emails. Believe it or not, a lot of emails come through on Sunday mornings. Not even Sunday mornings, like Sunday afternoons after they go to church or, you know, wake up or after realizing Saturday night that their relationship with the guy they're dealing with is, you know, it's not going anywhere. So they say, the heck with this. I want to start my week off, you know, fresh. So if that's you, shoot me an email and we can work on some things together. This is the next thing I want to talk about. I said, if he's not taking you out on a real date tonight, ladies, he's probably not feeling you and is just trying to smash. Because, you know, and we've talked about that a little bit, but I just want to touch on it for some people because a lot of women, they don't understand what a real date is. Their version of a real date is you know, having a movie night at the crib or, you know, nothing or just, you know, hanging out, him swinging by just to check you out. You come out on your porch while your son is asleep, and he just, y'all spend a couple, you know, 10, 15 minutes talking. You think that's, you know, that's quality time. No, that's not quality time. He's either coming from having sex with somebody or on his way to have sex with somebody. He just, and because that's the thing. You ever see How to Be a Player? Bill Bellamy literally went from house to house to house to house with his homies in one day, having sex with multiple women, chilling with multiple women, like in one day. Y'all know I used to do that, right? I'm just being honest with y'all. That's what my days consisted of. You know, maybe not like 5-6 women in one night, but I've definitely, you know, spent time with more than one woman, or you know, woman in one night, in one, or I should say in one day. You know what I'm saying? And you know, that's just, it is what it is. So don't, and that's what's, make no mistake about it, ladies. You guys say, oh my gosh, you did that, Dayton? You're an animal. You're a sleazeball. You know, you're a scoundrel. You know what I mean? How could you do that? Well, ladies, if you think that's bad, what do you think you are? You're actually one of the women that that's happening to. You just don't know it. You know what I'm saying? And I, just hear me on this. If you're having sex with somebody, right, and with no commitment, you are in a friends with benefits situation, like, and he just kind of comes by after the club, well, guess what? He didn't really come by after the club. Guess what? He never went to the club. You think he went to the club, but he went to go see someone else, and they came to see you after he had sex with her. He just told you he came from the club. Courtney, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, that's how it works, and I can relate to being in those, you know, types of situations, and a lot of times we'll convince ourselves, just it's, well, we know the truth, but we want to live in denial because it feels good, you know, and just him being there, or just even the sex, whatever it is, something about that man makes that woman feel good, so she wants to believe that lie and just ride that lie out. But it's like, deep down, you know, if you don't see him, you know, during, you know, daytime, then I mean, that's a problem. And if you don't have real dates, but you know, you have movie nights and you've seen every movie possible that came out, you know, just because that's all he wants to do with you, he doesn't want to take you around people, that should tell you something.
Right. There are so many women that I counsel that have told me, I've asked them, I said, well, you know, so were you guys in a committed relationship? And they'd be like, yeah. I'm like, okay, it was a committed relationship, but was it a public relationship? And they're like, well, no, it was, we were committed, but we weren't, it wasn't public. I said, well, then guess what? It wasn't committed then. If it's not public, it's not committed. There is no, I don't like people in my business. There is no, I don't really get down with Facebook like that, so I don't want it. No, there is none of that. See, when we're having sex with you, when we enjoy your company, when we have feelings for you, when we see a future with you, it's not that, you know, it doesn't have to be public. It's that we want it to be public. We want people to know about you when we love you, when we have feelings. If any of those things are not happening, that means he doesn't want you. You know what I'm saying? And so and it means he's having sex with other women. So like Courtney said, that's when you get, like, your dates consist of just chilling. And the chilling will add up because you're now in a, quote-unquote, in a relationship. So you're thinking, oh, yeah, I got a boyfriend. You know, so what do you guys do? Oh, no, I mean, we're both homebodies, so we don't really go out like that. I mean, we might go get something to eat and maybe bring it back to the crib, but for the most part, I'm just a homebody. No, it's not that you're a homebody. It's that you've become a homebody because he doesn't want to be seen out in public with you. Y'all know something, right? Like, there are men that will say this, and we talk, I mean, this stuff is being talked about as we speak. There are men who will tell you straight up, or they won't tell you, they'll tell us, that, you know, I mean, she's cool and all, she got a body, but I'm not feeling her face, so I just smash it at the crib. In fact, I just put a paper bag over her face and just smash. I wouldn't take her out nowhere. I wouldn't take her out in public. I'm just saying to you guys, these are conversations that, and this is just, you know, this is just normal guy talk. Everybody knows, I mean, it's not right. I'm not justifying, but this is how a lot of men feel. And so there are reasons why men are not taking you out. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, I know, see, this is the thing. This is what nobody wants to talk about. This is where it gets uncomfortable, but, like, I'm a real guy. And I have a problem with not keeping it real. I have a problem with just fronting. You know what I'm saying? That's why I keep it real. Like, and I'm just telling y'all, like, fellas listening, they know. Everybody knows this. I mean, if you're not on a certain level, or if that man does not perceive you to be on a certain level, well, then he becomes accountable. He, you know, if he takes you out and he runs into his homie and he's whining and dining you at this nice restaurant, and he runs into one of his best buddies, you know, he's accountable. His buddy's like, yo, what's up, man? What's going on? Like, who's this? This is my friend so-and-so. And so, and again, I'm just being honest. So if that friend is looking at that woman in a manner that would make that man uncomfortable, you know what I'm saying, to the point where he's going to get clowned later on for being out in public with her, then you can basically bet that man he's not going to take that chance and isn't going to be taking you, you know, back to the, you know, he's not going to be taking you out. That's why he's not taking you out, because he doesn't want to take a chance and run into people he knows. There's that aspect of it. He doesn't want to run into his homies where he has to answer a whole bunch of questions about why he's out with you. But then there's obviously the chance of running into, you know, other females who he's having sex with, or running into females who know the other women that he's having sex with. That's how you get caught up. So we as players know that to avoid all of that, you just stay in the crib. Now, please understand, guys, I'm just thinking back. See, some people, I don't think y'all realize what just happened here. I've done a lot of shows, and probably over 1,000 shows. I don't think I've ever really kept it that real. That's probably as real as it gets, period. You know what I'm saying? Courtney, you've never heard me keep it that real, because that's uncomfortably real for a lot of women.
To some women, yeah. You did keep it real. But you know what, though? It needs to be said, because there's a lot of women that are currently in these situations, and they're thinking that it's going to lead somewhere, either to a relationship or, you know, to marriage or whatever, and it's not going anywhere. Like, deep down, like, I shouldn't even say deep down, like, that man just really doesn't want you, and he's probably ashamed of you. So
that's what it is.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's the ashamed factor. That's what it is. A lot of men are ashamed of you. They'll hit it behind closed doors, but they won't take you out. And if I could go even further and just be extra real, you guys know that men rape women, right? And I'm sure you guys do too. You know, I saw a lot of Facebook statuses on my page. The NBC aired the Rock versus John Cena WrestleMania match. They aired that, you know, on NBC last night in prime time for people who didn't see it at WrestleMania. And all the women were going crazy. A lot of women were talking how good Rocky looks. I mean, the same way y'all do that and y'all gush over Shamar Moore and Morris Chestnut. And, you know, we do the same thing. It's just that men are a little bit more, you know, we actually rate women. And so it's like, you know, scale of 1 to 10. There have been some ratings done in the group. You know, 1 to 10, what would you rate, you know, what's Megan good? 1 to 10. You know what, Courtney? Boom. 1 to 10. You know, you listen at home. I guarantee there are men who have rated you. I give her an 8. You know, give her about a 6, 6.5, strong 7, solid 8. You know, these are all common terms that all men know about. You guys just will never ever hear that conversation. Never, you'll never hear it. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about men have hand signals now that they'll throw up. You know, while you're not looking, you just give them a look. Like, me and come my homies, just give them a look. Just give them, you know, like, basic asking what you think. You know, throw up some fingers. 8. And what I'm trying to tell y'all is, it's not a disrespectful thing, but it's a real thing. You know what I'm saying? And pretty much what that's about is, don't for a second start to think, oh, Daydon and his buddies. No, it's not Daydon and his buddies. This is all men. That's what I'm telling you. All men do this. And if they tell you they don't, they're lying to you. I guarantee you. You understand that? And so what it is if you're not rated a certain number in that man's book, that is going to directly line up with how that man treats you. Now, one woman may be voted or rated, you know, an 8 by one man. Another, you know, woman might be a 6 to that man. So the man who views her as a 6 is not going to he's probably just going to be bringing her back to the crib. You know what I'm saying? Maybe have sex with. But the person who views that person as an 8, you know, he's probably giving her some chivalrous treatment and things like that. You know, and a lot of times different men do different things. They incorporate the personality. They incorporate the emotional availability, the respectability, and that all, and as well as the looks, they incorporate that into the ranking. Other men is strictly off looks. Other people, you know what I'm saying? So it's just different strokes for different folks. But what I'm telling, the point of this story is that the man that you're dealing with, however he rates, you got to be at least an 8 in that man's eyes to be taken seriously. Anything less than that, you're probably just going to be, you know, just, you know, sex or not really dealt with at all. And I know that this is new for a lot of you, for probably most of you, because, again, men don't have these kind of conversations with women. You're not going to find this in any relationship books other than mine. You know what I'm saying? You guys want to know what's really going on, and you haven't already. Don't be a psycho and hear what I'm saying, and you haven't bought your copy of What Women Need to Know but Don't Want to Hear. Don't. It's $9.99 at DeDonTolbert.com. Order your copy now. All this stuff is in it. You know what I'm saying? But if you know what I'm saying, so I know it's going to be new to you. But if you can get past the newness of it all and really say, okay, that's the, you know, it makes sense. Let me make sure that the person that I'm dealing with views me in that manner. You'll be a lot more, you know, well off. That significantly decreases your chances of being played. Now let's keep it moving here, because we're talking about chivalry tonight. This is, and I wanted to use tonight specifically to discuss this, is because Sunday nights is the nights for, I said this online, it's the night for date night. Because if I can for a minute, we're talking about chivalry. A lot of y'all are saying, well, he always wants to be out with his boys. I mean, it's not, you're not looking deep enough. It's not just that he likes being out with his boys. It's that he's still in that player stage, and he's still going out getting numbers. He's still, you know, interacting with women. And that's just how it was. So Friday nights, people would ask me, and I used to clown my friends. People, I mean, just men in general, about, what's up, man? What you doing? And these were men who were looking for women, looking for girlfriends, looking to find that special someone. I'm like, yo, what's up, man? We going out, right? I'm like, oh, man, I can't go. I'm like, what? You can't go. Why not? What's up? He's like, nah, man, I'm taking this chick out. And all my people, all my homies would be looking like, yo, what are you, psycho? Why are you taking her out on Friday night? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would you do that? And I'm like, are you feeling her like that? He's like, not really. And then we really looked at him like it was crazy, because, like, that's, everybody knows that's prime time, you know, clubbing night or number accrual night. You get numbers on Fridays and Saturday nights. Like, that's just, everybody knows that when you're out there doing your thing. Not just from these you know, the hood rats. I'm talking about you're going out trying to meet quality women that you can interact with throughout that next week and maybe hopefully have something with. So only the weirdos and the psychos and the losers, you know, take women out on Fridays and Saturday nights when they're not feeling them. Now, I'll get into when that's not the case, but if he's not feeling you and he's doing it, they're just weirdos and losers. But Sunday nights, normally, generally, for most men, that's the day where out of the, you know, the 8 to 10 women that you're talking to or that you have in the rotation, those are the times, even maybe Saturday afternoons even, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, that's the day that when you are actually feeling someone who could be special, who has the potential to be special, those are the days that you actually go out on dates. Saturday nights, absolutely not. Friday nights, definitely not. Sunday nights, yeah, nothing's really going on Sunday nights. And I'm telling you, a lot of women say, oh, man, I don't like that. But this is how, now you're like, oh, my gosh, it makes sense now. Now I see why he never wanted to go out on Friday night. I see why he never wanted to come out on Saturday night. You know what I'm saying? Now, can I be Courtney? Can I be real? can I tell y'all an extra real story that I've never told, that I'm even a little bit, you know, I don't even know if I should tell this story?
Please do. I'm ready for it.
Yo, this was some deep stuff, man. There was this one, back when I was in the peak of my player days. This is like the peak. And to this day, some of my closest friends, they still look at me like I was tripping. And I admit, I had sort of almost an obsession with the club. Or not even a club, but just being out. You know what I'm saying? And there was one, obviously she'll remain nameless, but there was this one woman who I was dealing with. And I'm talking about, this was maybe, I want to say I was maybe 23, you know what I mean, maybe 24. And I was, you know, that was like the time when I was making $100,000 a year in banking. You know, 24 years old, making $100,000, man, driving a Mercedes, you know, having your own apartment, you know, decked out apartment. You know, I mean, that's, it doesn't get better than that if you're in that lifestyle. No kids, you know, no responsibilities, really just kind of going out with your homies every weekend, meeting women. And that's the life that I was living at that time. And so I was having fun. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, I was still looking for that special woman. But I was dealing with this one woman. And again, I had a lot of women in the rotation. You know what I mean? I might have had a Maya, a Halle Berry, several Beyoncés. You know, maybe a Jada Pinkett on the team, you know what I'm saying, a Selma Hayek, you know, speaks Spanish to me everyone. I'm just, see, Courtney, a lot of people, they listen, they can't, they're like, oh my God, I'm telling y'all my reality. The things that I talk about come from real life experiences. You know, might have, you know, the working woman, you know, like, who's just a nice, genuinely, you know, beautiful woman, you know. Courtney, how do you feel about that? When you hear these stories, what do you think?
I mean, I don't have anything, you know, negative to say about it. It's real. It's, you know, it's nothing to really say. I actually like the stories because they actually show, like, what really goes on. Because, you know, us women, we like to be in, like, fairy tale land when, in regards to how we think you guys are. Like, how we think that you behave. But it's good to, you know, for you to share those stories.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You're right, Courtney. And that's, you're right. A lot of women, they like to live in La La Land. They like to live in Mary Poppins. And they have their own way of thinking as to how it should be. And they really, for whatever reason, they don't want to know how it really is. They would rather just, you know, live in the reality of what their girlfriends say it is. You know, or it's crazy. But back to the story. When I was out, like I said, I would go out every other weekend, or really every weekend, Friday and Saturday of every weekend, and get 2-3 numbers a night. So those numbers, after a while, start to pile up. And I was enjoying that lifestyle. Long story short, I was dating this woman who looked some, I'm going to be honest with you, she looked kind of like, I'm trying to think who would be the closest thing to her. I'd say she probably looked like a little bit like, what's that chick's name? The Puerto Rican in the Tyler Perry movie. Courtney, you know who I'm talking about. Has that funny voice. Sophia Vergara or something like that?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, her. She kind of had that look. Crazy body, you know, beautiful face, long hair, like Puerto Rican and, you know, mixed with something like Puerto Rican and Italian, something like that. Long story short, this one, and at the same time, I wasn't even really, her personality was, you know, whatever, but obviously, for obvious reasons, she had a spot on the roster. And, you know, she was just one of those women. And I kind of could take it or leave it. I wasn't really pressed. And that showed in my actions and how we interacted with her. And so she was the type, she wanted the chivalrous treatment. And I was just kind of enjoying my life at that time. So I wasn't really, and she wanted to go out. Like, she worked all week, you know, so she would want to go out on a Friday night. And she couldn't seem to get that those are the nights that I was, that were reserved for my homies. And I'm a man's man. Like, I wasn't going to sell the homies out because I didn't want them to talk about me the same way I talked about these other weirdos who would, you know, turn down the possibility of meeting five of those types of women, you know, for the opportunity just to chill with one woman and spend $100 doing it. That wasn't my idea of a great time. In fact, one of the posts in the new group, Courageous Black Men of Facebook, is actually somebody asked, what's your definition of a great night? You know, maybe I'll read some of those answers a little bit later on in the show. But that way you can kind of get an idea for what we consider to be a great night, whether that's, you know, a date night or, you know, whatever. So long story short, it got to a point where she was literally fiending to spend time with me. You know what I'm saying? Because I kept putting her off. We went out a couple, like, Saturday afternoons, but I let her know I did have plans that night. You know, I think we might, but see, the thing about, I wasn't feeling her. That's why I don't want y'all to get it twisted. You know, when I started dating my wife, we went out, that's when I kind of let the club go, and we did go out on Friday nights. That's when it changes, is when you start feeling them, when you meet someone who you see a future with, or even a potential future with, that's when it's okay to do those things. But you never take women who you, and I just wasn't feeling her. I knew I was never going to wife her up. That's why that's why we didn't get along. So my homies are looking, you know, like, yo, do you know what this chick looks like? You telling me you'd rather go out with us and chase these chicks rather than, you got basically a solid nine. That's what they call it. They called it a solid nine. They didn't give her that dime status, which most women, men don't do. But she was a solid nine. And if you're a man, you know a solid nine is, you know, it's pretty up there. In fact, you know, there's a song, and one of Wale's new songs, there's a verse in there. He's like, if y'all notice it, he says, I'm not going to lie. Most of my chicks are nines, but a couple of them dimes, you know, but most of them are nines, you know, which is it's an interesting, you know, line. It probably doesn't mean too much to you as women, but as a man, you know, you respect that. Because he's not lying. A lot of these dudes are like, yeah, I got dimes. This, no, you don't. Most men don't have and never dated a dime. Most men, if you have, you probably, it's only been like a few. That's why I said, you know, most of them are nines, but maybe a couple of them are dimes. Oh, man, y'all don't know how real this. I keep it, man. Yeah, some people just listen like this is just regular talk radio. No, this is the realest information possible. We're breaking down the whole dating industry right now, man. I should be charging y'all for this stuff. Courtney, what's up? What do you think about that? That whole concept of nines versus dimes. Did you know any of this information?
Of course not, because I'm not a man. So I didn't even, you know, I mean, I knew that you rated women, you know, but I didn't, you know, think that deep into it. Like when you just broke it down, like I didn't even, you know, think of that. So it's new to me, and I, you know, like I said, it's refreshing just to learn just a little bit more.
Right, because in fact, he said, I ain't going to lie. He said, couple of them are nines. He said, most of them nines, couple of them dimes, but all of my women are hard to find. Something like that. You know, I don't have the lyrics in front of me, but that's pretty much what he's saying, man. You know what I mean? And I can't, that's funny. I listen to some of these songs. I'm just like, wow, I've done, I can relate to everything. I mean, aside from like the drug dealing and stuff like that, you know, but as far as like the stuff with women goes, it's just, you know, I'm not proud of that, but that was just, you know, that's just my reality. A lot of stuff Trey Songz talks about, T.I., I only go to the club for two reasons. I mean, that's a very real song. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the ladies and the drinks. You know, what other reason is there to go to the club? You know? So now, so long story short, this chick, we'll call her Sophia Vergara, you know what I mean? She was just like tripping, and she started tripping. And one day she was like, look, she's like, I'll have sex with you. You know what I'm saying? But she's like, I want you to come over on Saturday night. You know what I mean? She's like, and you're not leaving. I said, oh, Jesus Christ. I said, this chick is crazy. I mean, this chick literally, like, basically prostituted herself. She I wasn't even pressed, though. That's the crazy thing about it. She thought that I was. She thought that was going to, like, make me. She was so desperate just to spend time with me on a Saturday night, because I was like, look, we can go out on a Wednesday night. Like, I come get you after work. Let's go get something to eat. We'll hang out. Let's chill. She's like, no, I want to go out on Saturday night. You're coming over here. And I said, all right, cool. I said, I come, but I gotta go. I said, I gotta go out at, like, I gotta leave by at least 10:30, 11:00. She's like, no, I'm not cool with that. I said, why not? I'll come over extra early. I'll come over like 1 o'clock. We'll spend the whole afternoon together. What's wrong with that? I just got to be out by 10. She said, no, you're spending the night. I said, oh, my God, man. So, long story short, we ended up just not dealing with each other anymore after that because I just didn't want to. I wasn't pressed, and you know, I was that. That's how much. I don't know. It was like almost like an obsession, but you know, it is. It is what it is. How many, Courtney? How many men do you think would pass up an opportunity with? And you guys Google her for a little bit. Google Sofia Vergara, if I'm pronouncing it right. And, you know, and tell me how many men you would pass up a nice Saturday night with her. Just
most
to go out with their homies to the club.
Most men wouldn't.
That's true. That's very true. I know Gerald Howard would. I know some other guys absolutely would. Those are called elite men. I hate to say it like that, but it's very rare, you know. But those men, because even though that may seem in that player stage, that because again, all men go through the stages. So even though that was a stage that even I personally went through, those types of experiences, those types of situations, they prepared me for where I'm at today. Because you have to understand, for a man to be 100% content at this stage of the game, out of the club, being a family man, being a husband, being a father, you have to have done some things. And I'm talking about you have to have done some things to the point where you've literally gotten it all out of your system. And most men haven't. They've never they were always chasing something that they never could get. And because they never got it, they're not satisfied when they settle down with you. So now they're with you, they're still trying to get the things that I got when I was 23 years old. You guys understand that? And see the thing about it is, when you are comfortable in that ready to settle down, see, that's the key. There are very few men who are actually mentally in the ready to settle down stage. When you're comfortably in the ready to settle down stage, then you have no problem being chivalrous to that great woman. You have no problem trying to give her the world. You have no problem trying to give her that life that she's always wanted. But when you are not even in that ready to settle down stage because you still want to be a player at 35 years old, well, that's a problem for that woman. This is deep stuff right here, guys. This is as deep and as complicated as it gets. But if you can follow it, you know, and you can hear what I'm saying, you will really, you know, and implement these things into your life, you'll do okay in the love department. So that was that. Courtney, any questions on that or anything to add to that before we keep it moving? I actually want to read some letters from a few men in regards to chivalry.
No, we can keep it moving.
Yeah, you're like, oh, shoot, I got the notepad out, taking notes. This is entertaining stuff.
I'm like,
right?
Let's go.
Let me tell you something else. I said over the weekend, ladies, when you know how you walk into a room full of men and the whole conversation stops and everything gets real quiet, well, that's because they're checking you out as you walk through the room. How you carry yourself will determine what's said about you after you leave. Because, again, as we're talking about chivalry tonight, a lot of you will meet men in certain circumstances. But you've got to ask yourself, how did you meet that man? Did you walk into a room and he was one of the five or six guys that all tried to holler at you, grab your arm, and you just happened to stop? And he's the one who ended up getting the number, and now you guys are interacting, you know. But meanwhile, everybody's looking at you like a piece of meat because that day you decided to wear your white tights with the G string on, and nothing covering up, you know, the booty. You know what I'm saying? And you knew what you were doing. You knew the attention you were gonna get. You know what your buttocks looks like in some white tights or some white shorts. You know the effect that it has. You know what size underwear you wear. You know what I'm saying? You know how you're built. You know what I'm saying? You know how men view you. But because daddy didn't give you the attention as a child, you now seek that attention from men. So, you know what I'm saying? Courtney, so many women do that, and they don't understand the effect that it has on them.
Yeah, you just kept it extra real. Because I've done that. Like, worn, something.
The white tights?
Well, not white tights, but, you know, just something, basically something that was not respectable, you know, something that was just too tight, or maybe just, showing too much cleavage, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And I would have that type of situation where you just walk in and somebody just grabs you by the arm. It's just like, oh, gosh. And I would turn men down, and then there would just be that one, like, oh, okay, you know, he's cute. Maybe I'll talk to him. And, you know, not realizing that they're all looking at me as a hoe. You know, including the one that I was attracted to, the one I thought would be the one that would take me seriously. And it all goes back, like you said, just to daddy issues, you know, not having a dad around will really, it can really mess you up and, you know, make you, you know, dress that way and crave that attention, which will end up being the wrong attention.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because, like you said, that's the one that you were feeling. But please don't, you know, these men all think alike. Nobody wants the woman that everybody else at that event looked at as a freak. Like, it's funny, like a lot of women will dance all freaky at certain parties, knowing that you're the life of the party, and, you know, everybody sees you, but yet you gave one guy your number because you were attracted to him. But that doesn't mean that there weren't 10 other guys waiting in line to grind on that ass. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest with y'all. And so if a man wants to grind on you, he wants to get his, you know, his jollies just from, you know, getting all up on your booty. I mean, that's not someone that we're going to take seriously or treat chivalrously. You guys know that, right? A lot of you don't know that. You think that that's what we want. You think that we want a woman who could dance like that, because if she can dance like that, then that must mean she can have sex like that. But because you're thinking, well, I'm not a hoe, so yeah, we can dance like that, but that's all it's gonna be. It's never gonna go any further than that. And, you know, I just magically expect him to respect that. You know, you ever notice that, Courtney? It's like they do everything but have sex with you on the dance floor, and they just expect you to respect that. They expect the man to respect it.
I feel like you were just talking about me back in the day. I used to, I mean, I'm not even going to lie, I was guilty of doing that. Like, you know, I would dance like that and just crazy to the point where, like, everyone would just look at, you know, me, because like I said, I wanted that attention. It was all about attention that I didn't get as a child. So, you know, I would dance like all freaky and, you know, grind on somebody just because I wanted people to look at me. I wanted to be in the spotlight. I wanted that attention. But like you said, I wasn't like having sex with these men, and to me it was just a dance, and it was about the attention, and that was it. I was going to go home and go about my business, but, you know, I'm wondering why the guy starts acting funny. So it's crazy how it works.
Yeah, it's a vicious cycle. It's definitely a vicious cycle that you don't want to find yourself caught up in. So just know that. Just know that when you walk into a room, we're either going to be like, I mean, that's going to be, I like to be real with y'all. Like, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a preacher, and I believe that, you know, I'll let them do that, because I believe that the world needs a Dayton Tolbert, you know, because a pastor can't keep it as real as I can keep it, you know. The Bible study instructor can't talk and tell y'all these stories and have y'all really understand what goes on, but at the same time, everything is based from a biblical perspective. You know what I mean? But at some point, there's got to be someone who can really be trying to help women, but at the same time, keep it real with women. You understand? That's why this show is special. And that's why there'll never be another Dayton Tolbert, period. Because most people have an agenda out here, whether it's saving your soul, getting you to heaven, like the pastor does, you know, either, you know what I'm saying? Or make $5, $10 off you from you buying their book. But at the end of the day, I just want to help you understand what is being said about you and why you're being treated the way that you're being treated. And it all has to do with how you carry yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, he'll either say, damn, she's got a fat ass, or, yo, she might be wifey. Let me go see what's up with her. Matter of fact, hold on, chill out real quick. I'll be right back. I'm about to go crack on her real quick. Hold on, I'll be right back. Oh, excuse me, miss. You think I could talk to you for a second? Like, okay, yeah, what's up? Like, no, I just wanted to, yo, I can tell you, Courtney, should I do it? Should I give y'all an actual interaction of how I got numbers back in the day?
Please do.
Do you think that would be beneficial?
Yeah, I think it would be very beneficial. Go ahead.
Oh, man. Now, I've never done this before. You know, that's the thing. Like, with me, and not even with me, but just with the best men, like, I'm talking about they don't have game. There is no game. Like, when you try to say something, you know, specifically designed to get a number, the funniest thing I've ever seen, Courtney, let's say I see you. This dude, I was walking to the movies with a young woman, and this chick was walking with her girlfriend. This dude walked up to her and walked right up to her and was like, 215-248-5051. And she was like, what? He's like, no, that's my number. Just put it in your phone and call me. And like, and just it just walked up. I'm like, yo, what the heck? So, and she just laughed. Everybody laughed. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I think he ended up getting her number after that. I think it was that funny that actually worked. But no, as far as me, with me, I would just be like, you know, like I said, can I talk to you for a minute? You know, matter of fact, let's role play. Let's really keep it real. Let's give the people what they want to hear, Courtney. You're the chick. You know,
okay.
We're actually going to role play. I don't know you from a can of paint. You don't know me. And let's see if I could get your number.
Okay.
All right. Walking down the street. Hey, excuse me. Miss. Can I talk to you for a minute?
Sure.
Oh, yeah. My bad. I'm sorry. I don't mean to disturb you or anything, but I just want to tell you, you're actually very attractive. You know what I mean? Is that okay if I tell you that?
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Nah, no problem. Like, my fault. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I just want to let you know that. But, you know, you have a good day, okay?
Oh, you as well.
All right, thank you. Matter of fact, I'm sorry. Before you go, is there any way maybe I could call you sometime? Maybe, is that cool?
Yeah, I think that'd be okay.
All right, well, look, matter of fact, let's do this because I know you're in a hurry. I'm just going to give you my business card. This is my card. I work over at the bank. You know, I know you're a busy girl, busy lady, probably got time to, you know, you don't have time for this type of stuff, but here's my card. Just call me when you get some time, all right? Call me when you're free. All right, matter of fact, are you married? You're not married, are you?
No, not at all.
No, boyfriend?
No one.
Stop it. Yes, you do. Stop playing with me.
No, I'm serious. I'm not seeing anyone right now.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't think my luck was that good today. So, I mean, wow, this must really be my lucky day because I didn't even expect to run into, you know, someone like yourself today. But I just, you know, I couldn't just let you walk away without at least introducing myself. And, you know, matter of fact, I didn't even get your name. What's your name?
My name's Courtney.
Courtney. I'm sorry. My name's Daydon. Like I said, I work over at the bank, you know, over on Market Street. But I happened to run into you. I saw you, and I just was like, yo, I just want to get to know her. So, but I know, like I said, call me, you know, and, you know, maybe take it from there.
Okay, cool. You know what? Thanks for your business card. Let me give you my number, if you don't mind.
Okay, cool. You have a business card or anything?
You know, let me just write it down, and I'll hand it to you.
All right, well, that's it. Matter of fact, when's a good time to hit you up then?
I really don't mind. I'm pretty free during the day, so anytime is cool.
All right, well, thank you. That's what we'll do. Well, look, it was really nice meeting you, and, you know, I'll talk to you a little bit later.
Okay, thanks. You have a great rest of the day.
Right. Now, let's talk about that. You know, Courtney, what did you think about that? First of all, right, were you ever used to being approached in that manner? Because that was, understand, that was me all day. I mean, you know, give or take some, you know, some things. That was just kind of spur of the moment. But like I said, there was no set game. It was just very interactive, you know, for in that moment with that particular female. But, I mean, that was a great indication of how I used to get probably 3 to 4 numbers per night, you know what I mean, with me going out. What did you think about that, Courtney?
I don't think I've ever been approached like that, but I'll tell you what, if I was approached like that, that would be my response. Like, it wouldn't just be, you know, you giving me your number. It would, you know, we would exchange numbers. You know what I mean? So.
Right. That's interesting. And if you guys noticed, I never even really asked her for her number. I just kind of talked. She volunteered that. And ladies, what you have to understand is, the best game, the best interactions where you're going to, where the man is going to have the most favorable response is when he's not being pressed. You know, he's not pressed. Like, as you guys could tell, I could take it or leave. I mean, yeah, I was interested, but at the same time, I wasn't like, yo, give me your number, give me your number, give me your number, you know, or I wasn't giving her a whole bunch of ridiculous compliments like these weirdos do. It wasn't all sexual, like, damn, girl, you got a fat. Like, no, it was very respectful. It was just very casual, very laid back. It was conversational as opposed to just, you know, one-sided. And now you say, Courtney, you've never been approached in a manner like that. What were you used to?
I was used to just, you know, game. Like, you know, dudes pulling you by the arm, just about to tear your arm off, trying to talk to you, you know, or just be like, you know, just game. Like, you know, damn, you look good, or, you know, and then that's followed by the giggle, like, ha, 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 you know. But it still wasn't that, like, genuine type of approach because, you know, these men weren't looking at me as, you know, a potential girlfriend or wife. They were looking at me, you know, as a freak or a jump-off. So they didn't think they had to approach me in a respectful manner because they weren't planning to respect me. So,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, check this out. This is where it does not... You know, this is like, that was the professional, like, after college, that was like that type of interaction. I could give y'all a whole, you know, take it back to college if y'all want to. It was a lot less than what you guys heard. But it doesn't end there because in those situations, see, I gave the business card. I wasn't, the reason why men do that, or why I did that, is because I had no intention of calling. See, you know, and didn't really care if she called me. That's why I said, well, look, you just call me sometimes. You call, you call. If you don't, you know, that's your luck. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but that's the mentality that you develop as a man who has lived that life. You know what I mean? It's not, you know, oh, I'm arrogant or conceited. It's just what it is. You know, you develop that kind of shell. It's like you're not really pressed. You know, and now that what happened was, what you guys didn't hear, is that Courtney, I wouldn't call. And so what she would do in that situation was probably wait, definitely not that day, maybe not even that week. But then the next week, I get a phone call saying, yeah, can I speak to Daydon? Oh, yeah, speaking. Yeah, you probably don't remember me, but I met you on the street. You know, this is Courtney. You know, we exchanged cards, and, you know, you told me to, you said you would call me, or you told me to call you, but I just never got a chance to. So I just wanted to, you know, give you a call, see how you were doing. Is that unrealistic, Courtney, or is that out of the question? Would that be out of the question for you?
No, that's not unrealistic at all. I think a lot of women would think it would be unrealistic because they would be sitting there waiting for the guy to call because they feel like the guy is supposed to do everything. But, you know, in this day and age, men aren't pressed because there's so many women out there, you know, so it's not hard to believe that you wouldn't have called me, you know, because you don't know what type of woman I am, you know, so you're still looking because you haven't talked to me, you know, long enough to really get to know what I'm about, so you're still I would say you're still searching.
Right, exactly, and I think that when we talk about chivalry, you know, like you said, a lot of women are expecting me, like you, I mean, it's really unfortunate that women think this because many of them will get a rude awakening because for whatever reason, I don't know her from a can of paint. I just met her on the sidewalk, and yet that same woman, Courtney, in that situation, a lot of women like Courtney, would be waiting for me to call and expecting me to call just because I'm the man. You know, I feel like the man is supposed to do X, Y, and Z based on something I saw in the Cosby Show or, you know, stories my grandma. I mean, this is 2012, people. That is not how stuff goes. It's no need to. On that week that Courtney didn't call me, it's not like I'm sitting at home twiddling my thumbs. I'm still talking to, again, go back to the Mayas and the Halleys, the Beyoncés, the Megan Goods. I'm still interacting with them. that's how I meet Courtney on a Saturday. I'm still Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm still, you know, talking to those women, interacting with those women. So when she calls me on Tuesday, it's quite possible that I might not have even realized or remembered who she was. I might not even remember that interaction, whereas Courtney probably would have been thinking about it every day up until that point when she called. You know what I'm saying, ladies? So the moral of that story is, it's up to you to show us that you are different. You've got to work your way into it. And I really hate to say it like this, but it's very true. I don't want to lie to you and act like this isn't the case. I don't want to lie and say, oh, yeah, you know, we're pressed and we're going to do all these things and I'm going to get your number. I'm going to call you the very next day. No, that's not how it works. It's up to Courtney. It's up to her to show me, that, like I said, really work her way into that rotation and to show me that she deserves a spot on that team. You know, and once she gets on the team, then it's up to her to you know, to show that she deserves the rest of those women to be cut off completely, and for me to take her, you know, look at her in a way that I would say, wow, this could be my future wife. And the women who are able to do that will, and you know, you have the elite man who happens to be in the ready to settle down stage. That it won't be, you won't have to, she wouldn't have to force me in that situation to cut off those other women, because again, that's something that I would want to do, because men are only, we're looking for one woman who we can put up. Nobody wants to be a player. Like that song, all these songs are real. Like Joe and Big Pun, he says, I don't want to be a player anymore. He says, I'm looking for someone who I can live my life for. These men don't want to be players. They told y'all right there in the song, that's exactly how it is. I didn't want to be a player anymore. I was looking for someone who I could live my life for, similar to what I have now with my family. You understand? Courtney, what do you think about that? This is some deep stuff right here.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you kept it real, and I'm just really hoping that women are just listening. I know I always say that, but it's so important. Like, this is so important, like, to be listening to this show, like, because we talk about so many things that women don't, you know, think are a big deal. You know, we think it's just not a big deal that, you know, we're looking to the men to do all the work. It's not a big deal that I'm waiting on him to call me, you know, even though I have his number. Like, that's a huge deal. Like, that's a huge deal. And a lot of women have yet to grasp the concept of differentiating themselves. And I know it took me a while to grasp that. You know, so I know other women are still struggling with that. They're looking at you like, or they're listening, thinking like, what are you talking about? But I just hope that, you know, a lot of women are just listening and just being open-minded and just willing to change themselves.
That's really all it's about, guys. You know, just listen. I can tell you, if you're a single woman, I tell you all this from time to time, man, that probably the worst thing you could do is not listen to this show. Seriously, that's probably the worst thing you could possibly do, because, you know, you're not going to get this information. A lot of these dudes out here, man, they're scared to tell you all the truth. Doesn't mean it's not the case. All this stuff is currently being discussed over in the Courageous Black Men of Facebook group. Let's go to the phone lines, though. I see some calls, 646-200-0366. Hit the number 1 on your keypad. If you have a comment or a question or anything, we'll take your call. See a call here from the 347 area code. Welcome to the Data on Tolbert Show.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Great. I just had a response. I was actually, I've actually listened to your show in the past, but the chivalry thing is the one thing that I really was kind of confused about, because I always had the mentality too. Like, I always thought that if a guy really likes me, then he'll go out of his way to show me, like, right away. I didn't know that you have to, like, show that you're different or whatever.
Let me ask you a question, though. And I respect you for calling in, because you said, like you said, you're confused about it. You want more further clarification. Let me just help you understand. Let me ask you. You said that if he likes you, then you thought that he would go out of his way to be chivalrous for you.
Right.
But let me ask you this, though. How do you think he gets to the point of actually liking you when he really doesn't know you?
That's true. I thought maybe, like, because he's attracted to me, so therefore he'll just go out of his way. And like Courtney, I was used to guys, like, really fiending for me, like, trying to go out of their way to impress me. So you know.
No, let me tell you what was going on. Those men were fiending for sex from you. They didn't like you. They didn't want to impress you. They wanted to do things that would, in their minds, lead to you being able to have sex with them. Would you agree with that? I mean, I'm sure those men that you are used to, I'm sure they tried to have sex with you at some point, right?
Yeah, they did.
Right, that's my point.
And then when I went to get to them, they kind of got, like, upset, or they kind of just, like, disappeared.
That's what I'm saying to you. So it's when they found out they weren't going to have sex with you, all of that, the quote-unquote chivalrous treatment went away. Let me tell you guys, chivalrous treatment isn't contingent upon sex. You know, ladies, that's the thing. Chivalry has everything to do with actually liking you. Liking someone has nothing to do with looks. Liking someone has to do with you as a person, your personality, all the things that we listed at the beginning of the show. If you guys tuned in late and you missed, I read about 10 responses from black men from around the country specifically identifying what they look for in a wife. That's what makes us like you. When we say, wow, you have great qualities that I could see in a wife, then, yeah, that's when we like you. That's when we develop feelings for you. Looks mean nothing. That's like just the that's like the resume. Yeah, you can have a nice resume, but if you mess up on the interview, you don't show us anything at the interview process, you're not getting the job. So, yeah, you can have a nice, pretty resume. You can go down to Kinko's, go to Staples, get it laminated and all, get a nice, expensive resume paper. Yeah, you can make the resume look pretty, right? But if you get into that interview, you're fumbling, you look like, you know, you messed up, whatever it is, you're not showing us anything, you're not going to get that job. So, ladies, chivalry is contingent upon how we feel about you. Looks don't influence how we feel about you. Looks will influence, you know, just us wanting to have sex with you or not. But, I mean, that's just physical. That's very surfacey. Does that help answer your question a little bit?
Yes, it definitely does. Thank you, guys.
All right. Where are you calling in from?
I'm actually from Chicago.
All right, cool, Chicago. Well, I appreciate the call. And the thing about that is, and that's a great example, most women, because that's what the media wants you to believe. Like I said, there's no men out here who will keep it real with y'all. And so if you look around, most men are thirsty. They're fiending. They're just trying to get in their drawers, you know, have sex. Like, a lot of women aren't hoes. They don't give it up. She says she wasn't willing to have sex with them. So they fell off. You know, they never wanted her. But when you're dealing with that elite man, and I'd like to work with you. I'd like to talk to you. Maybe email me and set up a free 30-minute session, because if you're attracting the types of men who just want to have sex with you, don't ignore these posts online, guys. When I say stuff, I'm serious. If you have a habit of only attracting men who want to have sex with you, we need to talk. That's what I'm telling y'all. Like, you need to, because there are issues usually that revolve around emotional unavailability, which is causing you to only attract the liars, the dogs, the cheaters, and the players. And we've got to deal with those issues. Otherwise, this cycle will continue. I want to help you attract the elite men of the world who also are in the ready-to-settle-down stage, you know, who are looking for wives. Those men that young woman was dealing with, they weren't looking for a wife. They were looking for a quick piece of booty, you know. Courtney, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely agree. Shout out to the Chicago caller.
They're right. That's your name.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. And just, you know, thanks for just listening to the show, and I hope that you learned a lot. And what's important to, like, really, you know, realize is that when you first meet a guy, and you can't expect him to just be head over heels, like, you know, I wouldn't say in love with you, but just liking you so much that he's just going to give you that chivalrous behavior, simply because, like, women outnumber men, period. So it's lots of women out there that look like you and, you know, just possess the same qualities. Maybe you have a great personality like you, all of that stuff. So we have to do more. You know, we have to stand out from those women. We have to differentiate ourselves so that we don't be, you know, placed in that jump-off category unknowingly most of the time. So it's just very important just to be the best woman you can be, and then that's when you'll see the chivalrous behavior. That's when, you know, things will change for the better.
Right, right, absolutely. Guys, if anybody can relate or, you know, you have questions, email me, man. You know, I've never heard of anybody where you could just talk to for free for 30 minutes, you know what I'm saying, and for free. Shoot me an email, askdadon@trctoday.com. And like I said, if you're like Courtney, because I gave Courtney a free session, right? Courtney, remember that first free session back in the day?
Oh, yes, that was a while ago.
And you were a hot mess, Courtney. You know you were, right? I mean, you know.
I know, but you always put me out there like that. Yes, I was a hot mess. I can admit it.
You were not only just a mess, but you were like one of the worst, though. But at the same time, though, Courtney, I can put you out there in a positive way and tell you guys that, I mean, and everybody, Courtney is now one of the best. She was.
Thank you.
Y'all know how, right, Courtney? No problem. I mean, I keep it real. You were literally, when I met you, you had one of the worst personalities and mentality. Not really personality, but one of the worst mentalities that a woman could have. Or one of the, I don't even want to say worst, but you had the type of mentality that leaves most black women single today. You know what I'm saying? Similar to your buddy from Chicago. It sounds like the same type of thing, same way of thinking, but now you truly get it. You know what I'm saying? You truly get it. And so that's what I want you all to do, is truly get it. I want to help you guys transform yourselves. Let's keep it moving. I want to read. This is what I want to read now. These are some letters. Like I tell you guys, I get a lot of letters. I've gotten thousands of letters over the years. I've been doing this for a long time, guys, probably like maybe coming up on 10 years. And I save a lot of the letters, really all the letters. I save all the advice questions I get, and I save all the testimonies. And this is what and I have a separate folder for men. This is from a man. He says, Dadon, I don't have a problem paying for dates. All right? Talking about chivalry. He says straight up, I don't have a problem paying for dates. And I tell y'all straight up, neither did I back in the day. And this whole thing is exactly how I felt as well. He says, I don't have a problem paying for dates. However, I have a problem with the sense of entitlement that many women have, having the floor of spending on them, or entitlement to a five-star restaurant. Now, don't get it twisted. I don't endorse taking a lady to a hole-in-the-wall joint either. But if you can't enjoy yourself at Fridays or at Outback or a normal eatery, then chances are you won't be selected. Now, ladies, I could not have said this better myself. I might have worded it a little bit differently, but I think you guys get the gist of it. You know, a lot of women, for whatever reason, they have a sense of entitlement. You have to show me something. They confuse men, like the young woman, they confuse men wanting sex for actually liking them. They confuse us giving compliments and saying and doing certain things that will lead to us getting sex. They confuse that for us genuinely being interested in them. And that's an unfortunate place to be, because a lot of you guys end up giving them sex, and then they never call, or they just kind of fall off. And so he says, look, I don't have a problem spending money, but when you come at me feeling like I have to spend money, that, you know, and you're too good for a Fridays, and some women think they are too good for that. Like me and my wife, our first date was at Fridays, and she paid. You know what I'm saying? She said, if you're too good for those places, then the chances are you will not be selected. Well, guess what? My wife was selected. Many of you were not selected because of this exact way of thinking. Courtney, is that anything that you could relate to back in the day?
I think for the most part I was pretty, like, laid back. But after, I think, after being hurt by someone, that's when we kind of flipped the script. and will say, no, we don't want to do this anymore. Like, I don't want to go to Fridays, or I don't want to go to this place. I don't want to go to McDonald's because so-and-so took me to McDonald's and, you know, we had sex and I never heard from him again. Like, that, those types of situations, I think, is why women, you know, don't want to do that. But they have done that in the past, but because they got hurt, they don't want to do that anymore. Because they're still, you know, thinking about the past and not giving this man a clean slate. So that's, you know, where that's a lot of where the sense of entitlement, you know, will come from. A lot of these women have never been to, you know, expensive restaurants ever in their life, but they want it now just because they've never had it, just because they didn't have daddy to take them out on dates, or they didn't have that growing up. So now they just want what they just never had.
Right. That's how it is. I mean, ladies, you can't not go out to certain restaurants with your girlfriends because that's too much. That's more money than you want to spend, but expect a man to take you there. I mean, that's just, you know, this young woman said she expected that from the door. Like, that's not logical. It makes no sense to meet someone on a Friday night and then just, you know, for the heck of it. I'm talking about, you know, we have maybe one conversation, and he's like, well, look, can I see you? And for you to expect that man to take you out and spend $80, you know what I'm saying? Let's be real. Say you're going out to dinner. A lot of y'all like to eat. A lot of y'all have that sense of entitlement. You don't want to go to the Fridays where they got the two for $20 meal or whatever. You want to go to a real restaurant where entree is like $25. You want to get the steak that you've never ordered. The filet mignon is, you know, $30. So he's getting something. He's getting a cup of water, but still the bill ends up coming to still $80. It's like, dang. You know what I mean? And he just met you. He had to spend $80 just to now realize that you guys aren't compatible. Like, I made that mistake probably one time. I made that mistake one time. And I meant, like, for example, you're from Philly. I went to the club called Fazzo's. If anybody's from Philly, you know about Fazzo's back in the day. You know, they had like this nice little after work thing that on Friday nights, it was like people would go to work. That, you know, it was like you get there at like 6:30, 7, and it was a party, you know, up until people left at like 10:30, 11. So the party, it was actually pretty fun. You had a lot of people coming straight from work. And, I met this young woman there, and I mean, she was pretty, nice, pretty young woman, professional. She worked. I remember we had like one conversation, and this is where I got smart. This is what taught me, you know, not to do this anymore. But it was weird. I knew she was beautiful, and at that point, I knew I was like looking for someone special. But there was no chemistry in the first conversation, and so I was like. But at the same time, I mean, what do you say? I mean, you know, you don't want to say, all right, well, you want to come over. But, you know, I knew I wanted to see her again. I wanted to interact with her. But at the same time, I knew that there didn't seem to be sparks. But she was still beautiful. So, you know what I mean? So I figured, all right, let me just, what the heck? I rolled the dice. So I said, well, look, you want to go get something to eat? So she said, oh, yeah, sure, why not? So that next weekend, you know, I think it was like a Saturday afternoon, I took her out. And it wasn't like it wasn't a hole in the wall, and it wasn't like a Fridays, but it was, you know, I remember the bill came to like $65, something like that, and, you know, leave a tip. So I ended up spending close to $80 on the meal, and you know, surprise, surprise, there was no real chemistry on the first conversation, and then there was no real chemistry on the date. It was actually probably one of the worst dinner dates that I've ever been on. Just, I mean, not a bad person, but just there was just nothing to talk about, like no chemistry whatsoever. Yet I had to spend $80, and I literally never talked to her again. Like, I didn't call her. I guess she was feeling the same thing. She never called me. We never spoke again. Shout out to her. She's listening. You know, so, but that's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. That taught me a very, very valuable lesson. There's no point in taking these women out on these ridiculous dates just to find out if you like them or not. A lot of these men are taking y'all to these hole-in-the-wall spots, to the Fridays types of spots. because they want to get to know you. They want to see if there's chemistry, but they don't want to spend all, you know, all their money. And I'll be real with y'all. It has nothing to do with being cheap. It just has to do with being smart. I got real smart. My thing, I mean, this is what I did. Forget dinner. At a certain point, I was just like, all these women I would meet. Because you got to realize, we're meeting women every day. We're meeting women all day, every day. We're always meeting women, ladies. We're not taking every woman out and spending $80 on the first date. That's not happening. That's crazy. You know what I'm saying? That's ludicrous. What I did to get away from that was I'll be like, look, I just ate. You know, like I said, Sunday nights, that's the time to go out on dates. So what I would do, you know, I would tell them, and this was actually, sometimes it was true, because we still, my family and I, once a month, we still get together and have Sunday dinner, play some games and talk and things like that. I'd be like, look, I just had family dinner with my, you know, I already had dinner, but did you want to just maybe meet up, get some dessert? Did you want to maybe go to a park and talk? Maybe we can go get some drinks or something, get a few drinks, something, to the point where I'm only spending, you know, $15-$20 just to kind of interact with them. And then keep in mind, it's not about being cheap. Now, at that point, if they show me something, if they show me that they're different, I see some chemistry, they actually make me want to go on a second date, then yeah, I have no problem spending the $80. Because at that point, it's no longer spending, it's investing in what could potentially be my future. You guys see the difference there? Courtney, you see the difference?
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a good weed-out process because, you know, the women who have that sense of entitlement and feel like you have to show them something, you'll see that right away.
Right, right. There it is. That's what it is right there. You see it right away. But like I said, ladies, don't sit back and just wait for, you know, a man to spend money on you. You'll be waiting a very, very, very long time. Now, here's another one. A young man wrote in. He said, Daydon, some of these ladies just don't realize how easy it is for a man to recognize that emotional unavailability piece. We can see it in their eyes, we can hear it in their voice, and we can read it in their body language. Sooner they get it taken care of, the faster God can bring the right man into their life. And shout out to my man James. That was my homie James Poindexter. He's real active in the group. Shout out to him. He's in both groups. He keeps it real in the Courageous group, and he keeps it real in the Friends of the Daydon Talbert Show group. And, I mean, that's how it is, ladies. I tell you all the time, a lot of y'all don't realize. Like, you're having sex with men. You're going on other dates with men. You have emotional baggage caused by other men, and you expect us not to be able to see that. You expect to be, you think you can hide it. You can't hide it. Because you have to understand, ladies, an emotionally unavailable vibe automatically translates into a sexual vibe. Meaning, if we see, like he said, in your voice, your eyes, your body language, well, then we're not going to take you out. We're not going to treat you chivalrously. We're just going to be trying to smash. You know what I'm saying? And so, like he said, the sooner you get that taken care of, the sooner you call 855-55-DAYDON and, you know, schedule that session with me, we can start the process of eliminating emotional unavailability, you know, and that to the point where you can be found by the man that God has for you. I mean, I don't know how it could be any more, you know, simpler than that. Any thoughts on that, Courtney?
No, I agree. It's just taking that first step, which, I mean, I can understand for a lot of women. It is difficult just admitting that you have a problem, but I would rather admit I have a problem and get it taken care of than, you know, look up and realize I'm, you know, single and because I didn't do anything about it.
No, let me tell you, would you believe what you probably can't believe this. I find it even hard to believe. I don't put anybody out there. I keep everybody anonymous because I feel like people's privacy is very important. I take that seriously. But what I experience a lot of, like yourself, a lot of women, they do a free session with me, and then they go on, and obviously I tell you guys about some packages that I offer. I have a lot of end-of-the-summer promotions that I'm running right now, so you guys can take advantage of that until the end of August. I mean, then everything goes back to normal price for the fall. But a lot of women, you know, we'll talk and we'll uncover a lot of issues and you know, on that first initial session, and they'll say, all right, yeah, I want to do this. Then a lot of, and then they start giving me the runaround, and I'm like, yo, like you guys reached out because you identified an issue. We've uncovered what that issue was. We've made a plan to deal with it. Now you guys are treating me like I'm some type of bill collector. And I just like to tell everybody who might be able to relate, or, yo, you don't have to do that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't get mad, you know, if you change your mind. Like, that's okay. Because I found that when you're dealing with spiritual warfare, the devil doesn't want you to do any sessions with me. You guys know that, right? He would prefer you guys stay emotionally unavailable, because keep in mind, the overall plan of the devil is for everybody to be single and miserable, which is the opposite of God, which is, you know, obviously God is love, you know, who, and he wants everyone to have love. And so you being in an emotionally unavailable state, that's going to prevent that. So that's why he'll tell you things. You know about that, Courtney. There have been times he told you to stop sessions with me.
Yeah, he sure did. You know, there's been times where maybe money was tight, or not even necessarily that. Like, maybe he just may tell me how much more money I could save if I wasn't doing sessions with you, how much better off I'd be financially. But what people really don't realize is that it's an investment, and it's worth it. You know, people are just looking at it like, oh, my gosh, I have to spend X amount of money. But like I said, it's an investment towards, basically towards your future, you know, of you know, an elite man finding you and, you know, being married and having children, everything you want. So why not do it?
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, trust me, if anybody's hesitant, you know, anyone who's ever spoken to me knows you will never find someone who is more flexible as far as money or payment arrangements or installments. Or I'm talking about, I've had people tell me, look, Dana, this is what I can do. I'd be like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? Like, I've never turned anyone away because of money. Like, if you are able to do something, or, you know, we can talk about it, most likely it's going to be okay with me. So that's what I'm saying. Never let, because I don't, when you're, obviously I can't do stuff for free, but, you know, if money's an issue, we can work it out. That's what I'm, so never let that be the reason. Now, the real problem is, like, you know, when you know, the devil tells you, he starts lying to you. So, you know, and that's where you get, you know, 42 and single, 35, you know, and I deal with these women every day. I don't even talk, Courtney is one of the youngest women who I've ever spoken to, and she's only 25. Most of the women are well into their 30s that I've helped, mid-40s, early 50s. You know, I don't desire that for anybody. Start the process now. Don't wait. Now, a young woman wrote into me. I did the event the other week. She said, Dadon, I really enjoyed you tonight at the Jazzy Ladies of Speaking Engagement. Your raw delivery on male perspectives was just what I needed. I'm listening to your audiobook tonight, and I just can't get enough. Many thanks and abundant blessings to you and your family. And that's a young woman who got her copy of, well, they obviously heard me speak at the event. It was like about 60 women there. I sold a lot of copies of the books, man, of the, you know, the audio book. Get your copy right now at DadonTolbert.com if you haven't. It contains all this information we're talking about. $9.99, get it? So, yeah, shout out to her. And I don't get a chance to read a lot of these letters, so I'm just taking a few minutes just to read a couple of these. What's this? This is somebody else. This is another one from James, I believe. He said, ladies, please take some time to listen to this show and read through the posts that are on this group page. Dadon and several other men are giving you the rare opportunity to see how men truly think and really know how we deal with certain situations. You're getting secrets and information that are truly invaluable and life-changing. A truly wise woman would write these things down, take this stuff to heart, and share with other women. It will save you from making the same mistakes that so many women out here are making every day. Dadon, do your thing. And again, shout out to my man James in the group. great advice from him. Any thoughts on that, Courtney? And we'll do a couple advice questions before we get on up out of here.
Yeah, I agree. It's important to really take heed to what's being said. And you know me and my notebook, so, you know, I definitely jot some things down because, we're just, as women, we're ignorant of, and in a sense, it's understandable because we're not men, but when we do find out that information, it's important that we don't ignore it and don't let it, you know, go over our heads because it's life-changing.
Yo, this is a great show because these are all things that men are saying. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything that I've said tonight on tonight's show, the vast majority of stuff has been discussed with men that I know personally, as well as, you know, there are hundreds of men in the group, you know, Courageous Black Men of Facebook. And these, a lot of these discussions are happening right now as we speak. I just started. Like I said, people are just getting their feet wet. You know what I mean? You can tell it's just people are getting more comfortable in there. But these discussions, these debates are heating up, man. And ladies, y'all need to know what's being said. I'm just conveying to y'all. You know what I mean? Now y'all know. Like I tell y'all I talk, but now y'all see it. Y'all know what there's a group out there that where men really keep it real. And it's just going to be grow and grow and grow. Another man said, Daydon, living in New York City, there's always something to do. Some of these things I'd like to do with a woman, like go to the movies, see a Broadway show, or even go to the Bronx Zoo, which is one of the largest zoos in the country. However, I'm having a hard time finding women to do these things with. I don't want to spend a dime on these women that I come across. Are things this bad out here, or are my standards too high? Single life sucks. I'm reminded of this when I go out with my friends, and I'm the one with no girlfriend. I always feel like the fifth wheel. Now, let me just touch on this for a second, because, again, this is another one of those things I talk about every single day. What do I always say? I say every man out here is looking for a wife. How many times have you guys heard me say that? Now, what did this guy just say? He just says single life sucks. You know what I'm saying? He just said, you know, I'm having a hard time finding women who I can do these things with. So what is he, listen to what he's saying. Because I think this might have gone over some women's head. Listen to what's being said. He's not a cheap dude. He's not, see, a lot of women would take from this, oh, this dude, all they heard is he doesn't want to spend money on these women. But listen to what he just said. He just said, I'd like to do some of these things with a woman. He says, I'd like to go to the movies. I'd like to see a Broadway show. I'd like to go to the Bronx Zoo. These are all things that cost money that he just said he'd like to do with a woman. So don't take from this question that he says, I don't want to spend a dime on these women that I come across. No, it's not that he doesn't want to spend money. He doesn't want to spend money on the women that he comes across. He's coming across women who don't respect their bodies and who honestly aren't worthy of the ticket. Forget a Broadway ticket. They're not worth the cab fare. You know what I'm saying? I'm just being honest with y'all. That's how a lot of these men feel. And I'm co-signing that because that's how I was back in the day. I wanted to do things. See, these men aren't, y'all think these men are cheap. See, a lot of y'all think chivalry is dead. You think, oh, no, he doesn't want to go on a real date. He doesn't know how to treat a woman. No, trust me, he knows exactly how to treat a woman. He knows exactly how to treat a woman, and he will treat a great, I love taking my wife and daughter out. I mean, sometimes just taking my wife out. You know, you guys, if you guys listen, look at my statuses. Look at these check-ins. I'm not trying to brag to y'all, but see, check out my Facebook page around Valentine's Day. Scroll back and see what we did on our anniversary. Scroll back on my timeline and see where I was at last Valentine's Day. See what we did last anniversary. See what type of things I do for her birthday. Check out the photo albums. Check out the restaurants that we go to. Google those places and look at the menu. You understand? See, those are things that I have no problem doing for my wife and never did. But at the same time, when I was single, the vast majority of women wouldn't get half of that stuff. They wouldn't get any of that stuff. You know what I'm saying? I take her to the best restaurants in the city. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about the best restaurants that money can buy. That's where I want to go. I look out for the best places to go. Not because I have to. We're married. I don't have to prove nothing anymore. But that's because I want to. You know what I'm saying? And I call these women psychos, and I'm calling you a psycho. If you look at a situation with a great man and you say out of your mouth, I would never pay for the first date, there's a serious problem with you. And I can almost guarantee you're going to be single, and you are single. Now, I got to tell you all that in that way because there are certain ways and certain things that you have to do to get a man into the mindset of wanting to take you to the best restaurant that money can buy. This man just said he wants to go to Broadway, but he would never take half these chicks to Broadway because they're not worth it. The key is, are you worth it? My wife is worth it. Are you? Courtney, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's true. And a lot of women, you know, they feel like they're that great woman, and yet they've been single for, you know, 5-7 years, and they think they're this great woman. But honestly, you have to really self-reflect. I mean, if you have been single for a long period of time, you have to really realize, you know, why. It's something within you. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I had those issues too, and, there are still some things I have to work on, but at least I can acknowledge it. Just acknowledge what you need to work on so you can move forward. Stop being in denial about it.
Man, I don't know what to tell you, man. I tell you again, chivalry is not dead, okay? It's only dead for you if, one, you don't respect your body, two, you have the type of mentality that we're not feeling, you know, and three, if you decide for whatever reason to deal with a non-elite man. But, you know, chivalry is alive and well. If you are not meeting those types of men who want to be chivalrous towards you, we need to talk. You know what I'm saying? Now, here's a very interesting – now, again, this is James again, and I didn't realize I had this many – James keeps it 100% real. Shout out to him. I just have in my notes here – some of his things that he posted. I make notes, little, you know, mental notes to talk about on the show. This was something else that he said in the group, one of the groups. He said, he actually posed this question and said, ask for our thoughts. He said, a lot of women, they claim that there's a shortage of good black men in the world, but what they're really saying is that there's a shortage of black men they want to have sex with. Yeah, now we're talking. See, it's great to run into people who I can relate to. You know what I'm saying? Because when you look at men, you know, certain types of men are going to think a certain type of way. And, you know, shout out to my man Virgil, who passed away. You guys got a chance to hear him on the show for several months. Really just keep almost, I would feel like, honestly, man, I feel like he was like my twin. Never in my life have I met a man that similar in thinking to me. You know, men like James, you got your Gerald Howards, my man Timothy in the group, man. You know what I'm saying? Just men who are really thinking and understanding and really just get it just as men. You know what I'm saying? This is how it goes. It's no arguments. It's no debates. It's just this is what all men are thinking. And that's, he says right here, this summarizes it. A lot of women, a good man is hard to find. There's a shortage of good black men. No, there's not a shortage of good black men. It's you know, at that time when you meet him, you don't feel as though he would be able to properly blow that back out. You know what I'm saying? So at that point, he's labeled a nerd. He's labeled corny. You know? He's not cool. He's not a baller. He's not a thug. He doesn't carry a gun. So he doesn't feel like, you don't feel like he would be able to protect you the way you wanted your father to protect you from these boys. So because your father left, you want to replace that fatherly figure with someone who you feel like could protect you and who could be able to, at the same time, please you in the bedroom as well. Because you're more worried about your sexual needs and you're not really trusting God that he'll give you a man who'll provide those needs. So you're trying to do it yourself. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of you know what I'm talking about. You know, I mean, keep it real. He hit the nail right on the head. Courtney, Is that you know, how do you feel about that statement? A lot of women say a good man is hard to find, but in reality, a good man, you know, who could please them sexually is hard to find.
He kept it real. I agree with that. A lot of women do think that, like I know women who think that, you know, currently. And it is all about sex to a lot of women. You know, those same women who just only look at men just for sex and what they can do for them in the bedroom are the same ones that can't fathom having a relationship with a man without sex being involved. Like, those are the women that think that's crazy. Like, they, you know, they're all about fornication. So they can't, and those are the same ones that think that a man could never love you unless he's had sex with you first. So.
Right. You know, Courtney, that's exactly how a lot of women feel. They feel like, I've got to put it on him because that seals the deal. All men want sex. There's no way a man would marry a woman without testing it out first, taking it for a test drive. You don't buy a car without test driving it first. When in reality, yes, we do. I bought my Mercedes without test driving it because I already knew what it was. See, don't ever try to think like a man. Because 99.9% of the time, if you try to think like a man, you're going to think the exact opposite of what you were thinking. Most women think that. They think that a man would never buy a car without driving it. And the reality is, when you know a car's value, when you are familiar with a car and everything that it does, and you trust where you're buying it from, you know that car's history, you've done your research, you don't need to drive that car before you buy it. You got a warranty. You're good. It's a good car. It's a respected dealership. You like the car. You know what I'm saying? And the same thing, if you guys catch the analogy, you know what I'm saying? Now, if we do not trust God, if we're not comfortable with you, if we don't even want you really to begin with, then of course we're not going to commit to you. We're not going to commit to you regardless. You know, but we're definitely not going to commit to you without at least, you know, testing it, you know, first. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, Drake has a song out. Not Drake. Well, Drake is on, and Drake in 2 Chainz. You ever listen to the words to that 2 Chainz where he's talking about Rihanna? He's talking about Rihanna where she came through. She brought food. She got.
I know the song.
You know what I'm talking about?
She knew what's up.
She got effed. She knew what's
up.
You know what I'm saying? He said, what did he say? He said, I'm a paraphrase, but he basically said something like, I just need to hit one time. So, you know, one time is good for me. No. I actually said, I just needed to know what that something was like. So one time is good for me. And he's talking about Rihanna. You know, in case y'all did. He's talking about smutting around on a Friday night when she came through, brought food. She knew what's up. She got, you know, that's crazy, man.
I didn't know that was about her. I should have known.
Oh, yeah. That's why he says. He said she could have Grammys, but I still treat her ass like a nominee.
I remember that line now. Okay, that makes sense now. Totally went over my head. Wow.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the thing about me. Y'all got to realize something about me. There's nobody who has a greater understanding of the Bible, but at the same time has a great understanding of hip-hop as well. Like, you know, that's why I'm good at what I do, because I understand it from a biblical perspective, but at the same time, I understand stuff from a real perspective, so I'm able to see everything clearly. And that's why I'm able to see all this stuff as far as the Illuminati and demonic stuff and satanic stuff. Because I listened to, for a lot of my life, Jay-Z was one of my favorite artists. I've heard all of Jay-Z's albums. I've analyzed his lyrics. And so you analyze certain people. That's why people, they want to debate. They, oh, no, what are you talking about, they don't. Like, I listen to Rick Ross. You know what I'm saying? Not, oh, because I love his music, but because I need to know. I like knowing. I like being educated about what's going on in today's society. I can't talk about stuff if I don't understand it. So what I do is I read the Bible, I understand the Bible and what the Bible says about certain things, and I, you know, like I said, I understand it, And then I go ahead and listen to some music, and it's like, whoa, I see what Rick Ross is talking about. There's a song Rick Ross has where he says, it's so much stuff that he says, like blatantly in your face. But one thing he says, he's like, if you want to be the best in the game, that, you know, that stuff is complicated. And that's such a deep line right there. And it's like he doesn't even mean it. He knows what he's saying, but a lot of people are just like, oh, whatever. He just said that. What he's saying is, if you really want to be at the top of this industry, you want to have the riches, the fame, the power, the money, be at the top of the charts, it's complicated. There's a lot of stuff you got to do, meaning you got to, like, you know, sell your soul and all this. That's what he means when he says it's complicated. But that's neither here nor there. Courtney, I know you probably haven't heard that particular song.
No, I haven't. But as soon as you said that line, I knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, man, it's deep stuff out here, man. Whatever you think is going on out here, it's 10 times more deep and more complicated. And, you know, and I'll keep telling y'all stuff. Keep telling y'all stuff, and, you know, I'll keep posting. Shout out to Nakia. She'll keep giving you guys the video that you guys will ignore and not even click on. And a lot of, you know what I'm saying? But the information is there. Let's keep it moving. But, yeah, that was a deep post by my man James right there. It's a real shortage of men y'all want to have sex with. I had a woman tell me straight up. She said, she's like, what if the sex is bad? I can't marry somebody, you know, and I don't want to find myself unhappy. I don't want to be an unhappy wife, you know. I at least want to know what he could do. And when you have that type of mentality, you're having a lack of faith in God. There's no way that God would give you something that's a blessing from him but require you to sin to get it. You understand that? That's not how God works. He's not going to, you pray for a husband, you know, but, you know, you have to have sex with him to make sure that blessing really is a blessing, because it wouldn't be a blessing if he couldn't blow your back out properly. That's not how God works. Marriage, sex is, you guys talk about safe sex. There's no such thing as safe sex, because it's really not safe sex. It's safe fornication. How can you fornicate safely? You know what I'm saying? It's an oxymoron. It's no such thing. Y'all worried about an STD. You know what I mean? Y'all need to be worried about, you know, sin and how God views you. And, you know, Bible says, for the wages of sin are death. Y'all worried about other forms of, you know, stuff like that. Y'all need to be worried about the sin. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy stuff out here, man. Courtney, any thoughts?
I think a lot of people just look at things on just very worldly. I'll just say they view things very worldly, and sex is one of those things. And I think what people fail to realize, okay, you have sex and you use condoms, and so, you know, you may not get the STDs, but, you know, a lot of us have blocked our blessings by fornicating, and we don't even realize it. You know, we're thinking, well, yeah, I'm having sex outside of marriage, and yeah, maybe God isn't, he may not be so happy with what I'm doing, but you know what, I'm using condoms, so that's good enough, and I'll eventually be blessed with the man of my dreams. But it really doesn't work like that. You have to just not do it at all.
Right, and I tell y'all something, ladies. Y'all worried about chivalry? These men, y'all think that after sex, that's going to make him be chivalrous to you? A lot of you, it's funny, that's where the anger comes from. Because it's weird, it's the funny thing. After sex, you're thinking, not even after sex, before sex, you're thinking, okay, he's acting a little iffy, all right? We're doing this whole game playing thing. Things are a little bit awkward. I mean, I think he's interested. I've been playing a little hard to get. If I give him some, then I'm going to let down my guard, and then that'll cause him to let down his guard, and then we can just go ahead and really start feeling each other and live happily ever after. You know, that's what a lot of y'all are banking on, and that's why you go a little over the top and really try to put it on us that first night. You know what I'm saying? I had this chick one time. Afterwards, she started doing the cabbage patch. She was happy as hell. I'm like, whoa, what the heck? What you so happy for? You know? And she's like. She was like, yo, butt naked doing the cabbage patch.
I'm through with you, first of all.
Like,
does anybody do
know?
That anymore, number one? And was she serious? Like, she just thought you were going to marry her, like, after that.
She did. Yeah, she thought I was. She thought that I was. She was playing. You know, she really was doing the cabbage patch. But you could just tell that she was happy because she felt as though that was going to somehow whatever solidify, you know, what she thought would be my feelings for her, when in reality, it just drove me in the opposite direction. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of y'all don't get that. You don't understand that sex doesn't bring us closer to you. It pushes us further away from you. In fact, it repulses us. That's what a lot of y'all don't get. You have sex with us, and then you, if you were, like I talked about earlier in the show, I talked about how, like, we rate women. Let's say if you were an 8 before the sex, you know, you have sex with, and now you're like a 6, like a 5.5. You know that, right? You go backwards after sex. No one is as pretty as they were prior to sex, you know, when it's in a fornicating state. You know what I'm saying? And that's the problem that a lot of y'all aren't getting. And so, again, you have to be at least an 8 in that man's eyes. So now you're wondering why he's acting different, why he's not taking you out, why he's not committing. Well, now, instead of an 8, like, ironically, you were actually in the position where he would have wifed you up, where he would have taken you out and treated you seriously. But because you had the bright idea to give him what you thought that he wanted, you've now knocked yourself out of that category, and now you're a 5.5, in which case you'll get nothing. How about that, Courtney?
Wow. I shouldn't say wow because I know that, but and I'll say a lot of women don't. And it's crazy how it works, and we just think that after sex, we're just going to get that relationship, and we don't get it, and now we're mad as hell.
Yeah, yeah. It's unfortunate. Like I said, that's where the anger comes from. Like she said, mad as hell because you gambled and you lost. When I would go to the club, sometimes I would just, like on my lunch break, I might just go to the casino real quick and make a quick $100. That was nothing for me, just so y'all know. I used to gamble. I used to just make $100 like that. People would be amazed. Like blackjack, I could flip $100. It's actually relatively easy. My problem is when I got greedy. I could make $100 in 5 minutes playing blackjack. Easy. I mean, unless something crazy happened. Anybody who knows me knows I make a quick $100. The problem is when I would stay and try to make $200 or try to make $400. You know, that's when I would lose that $100 I made and then go backwards. And a lot of you are those types of gamblers. You don't know when to walk away. You know what I'm saying? You want to just keep playing and playing and trying to get back to the point of where you started from. And it never happens. And so when that, and I would leave the casino sometimes literally mad as hell, pissed off. Just like when you guys finally walk away from these relationships, you're mad as hell. But why? Because you stayed too long. Because you invested so much of your money, you know, or, you know, if you're gambling money, you know, if you're a woman, you've invested your body. I don't know, Courtney. I've done a lot of shows. I didn't plan on it being this real, but I don't think there's anyone listening who would disagree with this maybe me being one of the realest shows we've ever done. Would you disagree with that?
No, I agree. I agree. It's one of the realest.
This is, I mean, we're keeping it extra real tonight. You know what I'm saying? And I'll read one more, and then we'll get out of here. This is a letter from a guy. Again, this whole show has been about chivalry and why it's maybe not happening for you. This is a letter from a young man. He says, hold on. Here it is right here. He says, it didn't really matter when I was younger, but And I was just looking to have a good time with these women. But now that I'm looking for a wifey, my perspective has completely changed. I just can't see myself settling down with a chick who has a red weave that's either dropping down to her hips or stacked up 14 inches high. Ladies, please just keep it simple. not even going to get started on the promiscuity aspect of things. And this was just a, you know, this is, these letters that I'm reading come from men. And again, these are reasons why men are not being chivalrous. He just told you guys, and I mean, forget me, take me totally out of the equation. You know what I mean? I tell you guys all the time that weaves are not sexy, okay? Weaves will get you sex, but they very rarely will get you wifed up by an elite man. He just said, it didn't matter when I was young and I was just trying to have a good time. He said, I didn't really care about them then. He said, clearly, but now that I'm looking for a wifey, my perspective has, and he capitalized this, he capitalized, completely changed. He says, I just can't see myself settling down with a chick who has a red, he didn't say a woman, he said a chick who has a red weave that's dropping down to her hips or stacked up 14 inches high. Ladies, please just keep it simple. Keep it simple. And as we talk, and again, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but this is what all men are looking for. We all want you to keep it simple. Now, when you think about other races, you know, and you think about, when I hear the word simple, I think of plain Jane. That's the word that comes to my mind when I hear the word simple. You know, keep it real, Courtney. When you think of simple or plain Jane, what race of women come to mind?
White women.
I mean, just off the top. I mean, listen, you know, we don't have to be, you don't have to make it complicated. We all know when you think of simple, conservative, plain Jane, Courtney just said it. She said it. I said it. He said it. Black men all around the world are saying it. They think of white women. So that's what we're all looking for. No, we're not looking for white women necessarily, but we all are looking for that plain Jane, simple type of woman who's quiet, like the Bible says, to for women to be, like the young brother Tim said, you know, earlier on, quiet, simple, plain Jane. You know, I'm just being, and that a lot of y'all will take that as a negative. That's actually not a negative. You can still be strong and you can be quiet. You can still be sexy and be plain Jane. Some of the sexiest women, hear me on this, are or do have that plain Jane look. They just come out the crib with no makeup on, some nice little jeans, nice little tank top, hair back in a ponytail, nothing crazy, no colors. Maybe they just threw it out, threw a couple, they just curled it real quick, nothing major. Hair doesn't have to be all super long, but it's just theirs. They got that simple sexiness, and that's it. That's what we're looking for. It's very simple, ladies. You know, why do so many women have a problem being the simple, quiet, plain Jane?
It's crazy. It's so crazy. And it's, we've just, you know, let the media and, like, what we see on TV or just not having our dad around or whatever the case may be, feel like we have to, you know, use all these additives like, you know, the weave and the extra makeup. And it's crazy. And I saw, like, a woman sitting next to me on the train. She had, like, a platinum blonde weave, like, heavy makeup. Everything on her was fake. And she was actually pretty, but it was just like, I was thinking to myself, like, why are you doing this? You don't need all of that. And I'm just, you know, so happy that, you know, me and you were able to talk during the sessions because, you know, I used to do that. And now as I'm seeing things a lot differently and I'm seeing how ridiculous it is and how much better black women look when they don't do all the extra stuff, when they just look like their true selves.
Right. I mean, go through my wife's pictures. I mean, if you guys want a, you know, a barometer, I mean, look at Courtney's pictures now. Look at my wife's pictures. Look at some of Safina's pictures. Look at Jordan Sparks, you know, very, very, very. I mean, Jordan Sparks, go see Sparkle, almost the epitome of what elite men look for as depicted in that film. Very classy, very sexy, very respectable, very plain even. You know, and that very simple, that simple natural beauty is what these men are looking for. You know, unfortunately, those images are hard to find in the black community, so a lot of times men are going outside of their race. I went over to the Dominican Republic for my bachelor party a couple years ago when I got married, and, I mean, no disrespect to anybody, but those were some of the most beautiful women. I mean, they're just some of the most beautiful women in the world. Just, and any man knows that. I mean, that's just in and of itself. But what also made them beautiful, really beautiful, was their plainness. I mean, that's actually the, one of, if not the poorest country in the world. It's a third world country. I mean, people were living in shacks. And that type of background, that type of living environment, that gives you a naturally humble spirit a lot of times with these women. I mean, these were some of the nicest people that I've ever, even the men, just nice guys, cool, humble dudes. The women were just friendly, personable, and had that natural beauty. Walking around with just some sandals on, nice, you know, tank top, whatever, but not all dolled up, look, trying to go for a fashion show. I mean, nobody wants that. That's what these men are looking for. And I don't know what else, how else to say it. I don't know what else to tell y'all. I don't know how many letters I have to read before people really start to get it. Lose the weave. Lose the makeup. Lose the fake nails. Lose the fake eyelashes. Lose all that. Don't stop watching TV and trying to be what you think these men want. No, I'm telling you what these men want. Nobody wants a Beyonce. Nobody wants a Nicki Minaj. You know, they'll have a menage with Nicki Minaj and Beyonce, but they're not going to marry Nicki Minaj or Beyonce. It's just not going to happen, guys. Now, somebody like Jay-Z, when he's psychos out here, you know what I mean? That somebody like that, like when he's cornballs, they'll do it, you know? Somebody who worships Satan might do it, but not the elite men of the world. Right, Courtney? Any last thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, and a lot of black women are just so used to wearing weave and trying to keep up this image, you know, but if you're worried about your hair, you're just feeling some type of way about it, join my group on Facebook, Black Women and Our Journey Towards Healthy Hair. You know, we'll give you some advice to get you going and just get you comfortable about your natural beauty.
Right, absolutely. Well, look, Courtney, pleasure always having you here. We'll be back tomorrow night live, guys, talking about these issues and just speaking the truth. You know, even if you look at TV, you look at some of these people like the Steve Harveys, you know, the 90-day rule, they're selling sex. They're trying to give you some type of, some type of barometer for when to have sex or how long to wait. Ladies, if you don't take anything away, when you think about chivalry, a lot of y'all are trying to have your cake and eat it too. You want to have sex, but you still want to be treated chivalrous. Let me tell y'all something. I used to use the 90-day rule. You know what I'm saying? I talk about Steve Harvey a lot, but I actually used to use it. The only thing with me is I used to put them on the 90-day rule. I used to make women wait 90 days for sex. You know what I'm saying? That's how that went. They waited. They were trying to have sex with me for 90 days. And then if I deemed them worthy after 90 days, then maybe. You know, I'm joking. I'm half joking, but I'm actually serious. See, Courtney, but they don't. We're out of time. I don't have time to get into that. They're like, no. We got time. No, we don't have time. Tune in tomorrow night, and I'll elaborate on what I mean with the reverse 90-day rule. Oh, man. Look, guys, I appreciate you for being here. Tune in tomorrow night. Like I said, tomorrow night we're doing nothing but your advice questions all night long. It's going to be a good time. If you need help, email me, askdadon@trctoday.com, 855-55-DADON. Last but not least, if you haven't gotten your copy, What Women Need to Know But Don't Want to Hear, get it now. My novel, the all-time greatest love story of all time, all this stuff that I do, I'm an author at heart. The novel that started all 5 years ago, I'm re-releasing it. I've pushed it back. I know. I've pushed it back, but I promise I'm not going to push it back anymore. The actual day guaranteed that it will be available everywhere. Amazon, Kindle, all that stuff, The Love We Had, will be coming on Valentine's Day. That's it. Not Black Friday. Valentine's Day. The greatest love story of all time is coming on the Day for Love, Valentine's Day. Mark it on your calendars. Get it. I thank y'all for listening. And I will talk to y'all tomorrow night. Peace.
Down these voices inside my head.